Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal. The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Thank you for being a part of the solution this morning on the Female Solution. Welcome to Monday Morning Mindfulness. I'm your host, Zelda Speaks, and as always, welcome. It is Monday, September 26th. It is the last Monday of the month, and I am so glad because there has been so much going on in the month of September. I have been to there and back. I'll tell you all about it, so hang around. Happy Earth Day, Birthday, Born Day. If today's your birthday, we're celebrating life with you because life is to be celebrated. Somebody somewhere didn't make it this morning, and you are one of the ones who did. So you know what that means? We got work to do, because otherwise we'd have checked out this morning or last night. So that's why I'm here with Female Solution and the Higher Learning Network TV show. Let us always keep in prayer those who are sick, bedridden, mental health issues and anybody in need of prayer, because we all need some prayer. This world is going in a direction I'm not quite sure of, but as we used to say, let us pray. Today's topic is death. What is it? And why are we afraid to die? And we'll have some stories from the other side. Well, I'll be joined by my sisters of the microphone on the Female Solution. They'll be joining us in the 7:30 hour after the 7:30 break, and we'll also be announcing the winner of the Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest, which was just this past Saturday. Every last Saturday of the month, we host the talent contest to allow our children the opportunity to display their talents, and we offer them prizes and scholarships and cash and things of that nature. So we'll be announcing that. And today's show is dedicated to the memory of my BFF of 30-plus years, Deborah Smith. And if you look on my page on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com, you will see her there. And it has been so challenging because I just want to share with you very quickly. I had the opportunity just this past week, last Friday. And she lives in Chicago, but she was transferred to Vegas because there was some, she wasn't getting the treatment that she needed, and her caregiver, which is Deborah Monday, thought it best that take it to Vegas where she lived. So this show is dedicated to the both of them. Deborah Smith made her transition, but Deborah Monday, we all grew up together. Deborah Monday was her caretaker and friend, and Deborah took care of her like friends do. You know, no nursing home here, none of that. So as you can see, that is Deborah Smith, the one who made the transition on the left, and Deborah Monday on the right, lifelong friends. And we all grew up together. 3651 South Federal in Chicago when it was Stateway Gardens. And Deborah Monday, the one on the right, lived at 3739, which was the next building. So today is dedicated to the memory of Deborah Smith and to the friendship for Deborah Monday, because Deborah Monday has gone above and beyond the call of duty. Stayed with her 3 months, I mean, hand and foot. I mean, really, she's been taking care. Took her to Jamaica, and I missed the Jamaica trip. That's a whole other show. But Deborah Monday took care of her the last year of her life like a friend would, like a nursing home is supposed to do. And by the grace of God, we got a last-minute flight, and that I got a horror story about that, and that's on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. But I made it. We got off the plane in time, went straight to the hospital to see her. She was really not conscious, but she was conscious long enough to open her eyes and see that we were there and acknowledged her presence. Her Aunt Carol and I flew down at the last minute because because I was thinking about going this coming Wednesday. And my spirit said, no, you need to get there now. I don't care what the ticket costs. Well, I did care, but, you know, you can't put a price on friendship. And I'm so glad I did, because she expired the very next day. Because I was praying all the way there on the plane, to Lord, just please let her live until we get there. And she did. So tell me about what the power of prayer will do. So she lived long enough for us to get there. I am most grateful and most honored to have these two women in my life, because if you don't have a friend like this who will take care of you, who will clean you, who will feed you, who will bathe you, I don't know what to tell you. Because you see how they treat people in nursing homes today. I'm just saying. Anyway, on that note, I want to thank you, Deborah Monday, for being the sweet spirit you are. Thank you for Deborah Smith for being the loving, my loving BFF. I don't know what I'm going to do now. Who am I going to call now? And Deborah's in Vegas with her grandson and her daughter, so she has a family. So, you know, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you're listening online, thank you so much for joining us. Please share this video as you're watching it. We can call in after the 7:30 hour, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak, and we will gladly bring you on. And if you're online, our Facebook page is Higher Learning TV Show. We finally got that straightened out. And on YouTube, it's Higher Learning TV Show. And be sure and watch the Higher Learning TV Show. It's Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19. And it is now time for your Monday morning traffic. And traffic is brought to you by Karen Kelly of iTechs.com. If you are an owner, a business owner, or an entrepreneur, and you need supplies or anything that you can think of that you get at a big box store, you can get it at iTechs.com. So be sure and check that out, iTechs.com. And all of the information is on my blog. What am I doing next here? Weather. I'm looking for the traffic here. There you go. If you are headed out and about this morning, do know that you always, always, always want to allow yourself some extra time, because it's that few extra minutes that could get you there on time or that could not get you there on time, and you could have an accident. So just, you know, do what you need to do to, you know, allow yourself some extra time. With that said and done, we take a look at the traffic. It is a hot mess outside. Grab your sweater or your t-shirt or something of that nature, because it's a little cool outside today. A little below average. It's usually 72. It's only 64 today. And back up in the 70s on the weekend. So we look forward to that, don't we? I know I do. No reported delays on Metro or CTA. But inbound on the expressways is a whole other show. Inbound on the Kennedy, it is 34. Outbound, it's 28. And on the Edens inbound, your usual delays is 25 inbound and 32 outbound. Expect some delays due to an accident on the Edens. On the Eisenhower, it is 35 inbound, 39 on the reverse. There's a backup from Mannheim to Harlem Avenue. On the Stevenson, 24 in, 21 minutes out. Northbound on Cicero, the dump truck, there's an accident, so expect a delay if you're on Stevenson. On the Dan Ryan, 28 in, 11 out. Bishop Ford, 18 in, 11 out. And on DuSavo, Lakeshore Drive, it's 10 minutes in, 9 minutes out on the reverse. And traffic and weather is sponsored by Karen Kelly of iTech.com. And in order for you to travel to Jamaica or Caribbean, anywhere, Alaska, Mexico, Vegas, anywhere, you can fly. Well, why didn't you get the iTechs tickets to fly? Because I needed them tomorrow. And it doesn't work like that. You know, it's a process you got to go through. It might take you a couple of days. But anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And if you are a person who lives in America, we have a tendency to eat too much here. And 9 times out of 10, you'll wind up being a diabetic and don't even know it. I was a pre-diabetic for 10 years and discovered I was a diabetic going into surgery. And I didn't want to be on metformin the rest of my life. So someone shared a drink with me, and I'm sharing a drink with you. And it's at diabeticdonut.com. You see me drinking from this cup every morning. It's not because I like it, but I like what it does. Apple, beet, cucumber, lemon, ginger, kale, turmeric, all those things. 1 16-ounce cup a day and you'll be diabetes-free. I'm just saying it worked for me. I'm not a doctor. I'm just telling you what worked for me. So if you have that issue, that might be something that worked for you. So be sure and share it with someone. And be sure and share the Higher Learning Network TV show Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19. See the HLN, because there's a lot of Higher Learnings, but there's only one Higher Learning Network, NFT. You see that logo you know you're at the right place. And set those DVRs, Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19. And it's also on the web, YouTube. Show High Learning TV Show. I forgot to show you this. You know I don't do funerals, right? But I did this one yesterday. That's in loving memory of my girl. That's my big whiz partner. Went to her funeral yesterday. I do another funeral. And I said, I don't do funerals. I went to her funeral. This was my big whiz party. Y'all know I'm hooked on big whiz, right? I had to go. I'm a girl. Darcelle. Beautiful in the back. And it's on my blog, too, so go and check it out. Oh, it's on our Facebook page, too. Prayers to the family of Vicki Darcelle Williams. She was born November 29th, 1957, and she passed September 7th. And that's what we're talking about, death and transitions. Why are we afraid of it? Love you, Miss Vicki. Thank you for being my partner and showing me a new way of living, as opposed to the old way of thinking. So thank you, Miss Vicki. Thank you for being here on the show with me today. Vicki Darcelle, look at that smile. And look at your smile. And thank you for being here with me this morning. As I give you the word for the day, taken from, I almost said Darcelle, taken from Mike House. That's the young man who sends me, fellow journalist who sends me inspiration every morning. He sends it to everybody, but I'm on his list, and you can get on that list too. All you got to do is Google Mike House. And it says, Monday, September 26th, there's a song inside me. There's a song inside you. Your song is uniquely yours. It will carry you through those life's journey. Your song is ancient. It was placed in you by those who came before you. You are here to sing your song. Yearn for it daily. Let it sing through you. Desire it with an open heart as you would a lover. Say it. Say yes to it. Just for you, it will activate more harmony, more joy, and more inspiration. How about that? I am the perfect instrument for God's harmony. I am healing. I am love. I am a love song. I am music, the melody, and the lyrics. The rhythm of my soul guides my thoughts, inspires my actions, and heals my heart. The frequency of my song heals justice, oppression, marginalization, and a sense of separation. I am a freedom song. I am a redemption song. Thank you. Order in me, through me, as me, around me, through the Christ within. And so it is. Speaking to your souls in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing with your heart to the Lord. That's Ephesians 5 and 19. And that is your Monday morning mindful inspiration from Mike House. And I'll include that on my blog, too, because I get a lot of requests for, what is that you read, Zelda? I read it, and I'll post it on my blog later. So you can go to zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. But right about now, it is time for your Monday morning mindfulness meditation. And I want to thank Naima Latif, executive producer of The Female Solution, for doing such a wonderful job of meditation last week when I was in Vegas, and it was 5 a.m. there, and I was like, we've been up all night celebrating her transition. I don't think I'm going to make that show, so I didn't even wake up. Anyway, long story short, it was not a pleasurable trip, but it was a learning experience, and that is the experience that I'm most grateful for, and thank you, Naima, for carrying the show on and doing Monday morning mindfulness meditation as we are about to experience right now. So I would like for you to sit up straight in your chair. If you're lying in your bed, it's okay. Just get comfortable wherever you are. Tony. Well, excuse me. Do you see how I keep going in and out? Oh, now it's okay. Oh, no, it's not. Can you come and close this shade for me, please? I greatly appreciate it. I thought I could get away with it this morning. Yeah, I thought I could get away with it this morning, but I couldn't. You see the light, the sun beaming. No. Not that one. This one. Yeah. You got them long arms. You can hang on there. Y'all said, thank you, Tony. Excuse me. So while he's closing the window, the shades, the blinds. Yeah, see the difference? Yeah, already. Yeah, it's better than it was. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mom. And as we close our eyes, sit up straight, let's just take a stretch and just begin the process of breathing in through the nose. Hold it for the count of five and then exhale. Let us begin. Inhale deeply. Eyes closed. And exhale. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale. Once more, inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale. And you continue breathing in and out, listening to the sound of my voice. You should not be looking at me, but only the inside of your eyelids as you inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale. Now as you breathe in and breathe out, your mind will wander and tell you, thinking about your list and all your to-do, all everything you got to do today, and it's just not focused on the breath. So they help you focus on the breath as you breathe in. And hold it. Focus on your chest or your stomach. When you inhale, you should feel your chest expand, and when you exhale, you should feel it deflate. So let's do that together. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale. When you exhale, feel those shoulders drop. Inhale deeply. Bring those arms up and out. And hold it. And as you exhale, stretch. And move those shoulders. Get some motion. You know, motion is the lotion that keeps the body moving. You'll find that out when you get to be a senior. You got to breathe. You got to eat. And you got to move. Only three things you got to do in life to stay here. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And stretch. Are you stretching with me? Not just looking at me? Thank you. Inhale deeply. And stretch. And if you're sitting in a high back chair like I am, grab it and turn around and squeeze that middle of the body. Give it a little action there. And exhale. Inhale once more. Bring those arms up. Turn them around and turn to the other side. Hold it for a second and then exhale. Yeah, got to give that body movement. Inhale once more. Bringing that energy up to the crown, to the top of the head. And as you exhale, allow the energy to flow down through your face and through your shoulders as you stretch and bring those arms up. And move them back and forth and rotate those shoulders as we breathe in. Bringing the energy of the breath down through the solar plexus and the sides and the hip and the back as we inhale deeply. And as we exhale, feel the energy flowing down through the thighs and the knees. Oh, yeah, baby, rub those knees because at some point in time they're going to speak to you, I promise you. And exhale. As we inhale deeply, exhale the legs, sending the energy down through the legs and the ankles and the arches and the instep and the feet, the top and the bottom of the feet. As we inhale deeply, sending more love, light, and energy down through the toes. Feel free to wiggle those toes. Yeah, the toes keep us balanced, and we appreciate them as well as we exhale. And inhale, bringing that energy back up through the feet, the arches, the ankles, and the legs and the knees. As we inhale deeply, bringing the energy back up through the thighs and the hips and the buttocks as we do a little bit of the higher learning hip roll early in the morning. As we inhale deeply, bringing the energy back up through the sides and back up through the shoulders, rotating those shoulders and taking these two fingers and your thumb and massaging the back of that neck. That's where the vagus nerve, it runs throughout the whole body, sending love, light, and energy to every tendon, ligament, joint, muscle, fiber, and tissue in your body. You're sending it love. Don't even know it. Don't even go to the doctor for that. When you know a little bit about the system and all the other systems of the body, as we give thanks for all those systems that are working as we breathe in. Giving thanks for the lymphatic system that flushes everything out. We give thanks for the digestive system that moves everything out. Because, you know, some of y'all constipated. Get you some Nopalina, you'll be all right. As we inhale deeply. Giving thanks for all of the systems in the body that are working on our behalf this morning. We don't even know it. We don't know it until there is a problem. So that's why we practice breathing. Because breathing is the first line of defense. Don't look at me, just keep breathing. It will not only protect your sanity as we inhale, it will calm you down in a state of chaos and confusion. That's why you hear people say, just breathe, breathe, breathe in, and breathe out. That's why we have to meditate in order to activate the power that is within us. Because when we learn to do that, we are learning to control the energy that moves, thinks, and has its being in, through, and around us. As we breathe in, hold it, and as we breathe out, inhale deeply, breathe in, hold it, and exhale once more. Inhale deeply, hold it. And exhale, giving thanks for the heart, the liver, the lungs, the spleen, and the spine, and all of everything that is working within us without our even being aware of it. It is the first line of defense. And one of the affirmations that you can use is, I am. Whatever you are, I am happy, I am healthy, I am whole and complete, just like I am. I don't need anything outside of me to make me better, because everything I need is inside of me. This is an inside job. They keep us programmed with radio and television and cell phones to keep us distracted from the power that is within. And that's why we must take our power back. And we've done that here at the Higher Learning Network. We've made it possible by doing justice. You see this? We inhale affirmations and we exhale anything other than that. And as you can see, we inhale affirmations. Breathe in. And we exhale negative self-talk. These are just one of the t-shirts that we use for our projects, our homeless project, where we help the homeless get food and things to keep them warm in the winter, like butane and blankets and anything that they need. So we design these t-shirts, and this is one of my favorites. Inhale affirmations and exhale negative self-talk. Because, you know, we got a lot going on up here in the programming department, because we're being programmed daily and don't even know it. And if we are aware of it, it's just a challenge to get out of that rhythm into our own rhythm. So let us do this together. Inhale affirmations and exhale negative self-talk. That's how we start our day, because we're looking for love on the outside. Love is an inside job. I'm watching, what was the name of that show came on last night? Finding Happy. And I started not to look at it. And I said, you know, EO's always running and said, well, you know, you've been there, done that. You don't need to watch what these 30-something-year-olds are doing. But you can learn something from the youth, and I did. So I'm very glad I watched. Finding Happy, it's not an outside job. You you can't listen to other people. Happiness doesn't come from out there. It's in here. It's in here. It's in your heart. And you won't find it anywhere else. So just know that. Work on you. Because the more you work on you, the less that all this drama is going on, it won't affect you mentally, spiritually, emotionally, because if we are creator, some people say Christ, I say creator-centered, focusing on that which is within us, not outside of us, that's where the peace comes from. You've heard the term, peace passes all understanding. That's why. Because you can't buy peace. You can't buy peace of mind. You can go somewhere on an island and, or in a bathroom, in a tub, and get some peace, but you can't buy it. You can experience it, but you can't buy it. So, if you want self-love, you got to start. If you want love, just know it's an inside job. And when it shows up in you, everybody around you will see it. And they'll want some of that, too. And you tell them how you got it. It's self-love, baby. That's how we roll. Inhale, genius. Yes, because we've been told all our lives that we're less than anything. No, we are geniuses. We don't know it. They know it, but we don't know it. So that's why we inhale, genius. And exhale, doubt. How about that? Nobody ever told you you were a genius. Well, here, honey, I am here to tell you. You are the genius you think you are. And you are the genius that you have not, may have not been told. Inhale, genius. And exhale, doubt. And as we move on, inhale affirmations of love and exhale doubt. And there's just a whole slew of t-shirts that are available for you right there on higherlearningnetwork.org. So when you go to the site, you'll get a chance to see them. So I want to thank you for doing this breathing exercise with me this morning. And be sure and check out the blog on, it's not the blog, it's our YouTube channel. Baba Kwame Sunhorse from Georgia, a regular caller who calls in and shows us the reason why designers get so rich off of the clothing is because they know something that we don't, and that's on my YouTube page on Zelda Speaks or Zelda Speaks Mindfulness. Also on the Higher Learning YouTube page too, Higher Learning TV show. And see, because when you take a selfie, that's a whole nother energy that you may or may not be aware of, so you might want to check that out. And one of the things that we can do is to keep in mind that this breathing exercise is designed just for you. So let's close it out as we breathe in. Hold it. And exhale. As we take our last long, deep breath, inhale deeply. And as you exhale, bring your head forward, chin to chest, and slowly rotate that head to the left. That's why you're sitting up straight. You might feel a little pop in your neck. That's just air between the ligaments. That's all. Roll that head on around. Bring it down. Head up. Inhale deeply. Bring your head back down. Slowly rotate the head to the right. And bring it back around to the left. And slowly bring it around to the front, head up, look to the left as far as you possibly can, feeling a stretch in the right side of the neck, head back, inhale deeply, and look to the right as far as you possibly can, feeling a stretch in the left side of the neck. Oh yeah, that feels so good, doesn't it? And inhale once more, hold it. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just triggered the happiness gene. So you're wondering why you're going to be so delighted during the course of the day. It's because, as Dr. Maya Angelou says, before you face the day, face the creator that is within you and do your breathing exercise and watch your life change miraculously. Don't believe me? Try it for yourself. And be sure and share that with somebody. Because somebody you know somewhere is stressed out, right? Mm-hmm. Can I get an amen? Type in the comments what you've been stressed about lately. Or are you afraid of dying? Some of us are. And I once was until I learned better. Let's see what some of the comments this morning. Jody Susan says, Grand Rising. Thank you, Jody. Grand Rising to you too, my sister. Sharon Ingram Collette, amen, girl, amen, amen, amen. I want to thank you for hanging in here with us this morning as I bring you our first, excuse me, we're going to take a break. Ooh, excuse me. You know, I drink this tea in the morning because, you know, sometimes it agrees. Sometimes it don't. Because, see, I got a cup here for tea and for water. But I want to share with you our first promo of the week, and it's for stress relief. So check it out right here, and we'll be back after our first break on the Female Solution. Tweet somebody and tell them we're on. They'll be glad they did for joining us this morning on Monday Morning Mindfulness.
Are you ready to learn some quick techniques on how to de-stress immediately? Then book your free 30-minute consultation with Zelda Speaks, the Mindfulness Stress Relief Coach, at higherlearningnetwork.org. Thanks for sharing.
If you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant, our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
What happens when a group of people are kidnapped from their homes, smuggled away in chains, and held captive in a foreign land where they are tortured, raped, and forced to perform hard labor by the lash of a whip and under the constant threat of death? Slavery, the African-American psychic trauma. What happened to the doctors, writers, scientists, builders, educators, and spiritual leaders from Africa's golden age? Who did they really capture and sell into slavery? Are all African Americans suffering from psychic trauma because of a conspiracy to hide their true identities? Do you have psychic trauma? Take the test on page 22 of the book and see. Order it online today at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com, and get your personally autographed copy of the book, Slavery, the African American Psychic Trauma.
Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in an amp. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willa Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willa
Wilson. Kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student's needs. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve any problem by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willa Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
And just so that you know, Dr. Willie Wilson will be doing another gas giveaway this not this Saturday, but Saturday, October 8th. Actually, gas and grocery giveaway. So you want to mark your calendar for Saturday, October 8th. And you can go to his Facebook page, which is Dr. Willie Wilson. Facebook.com, Dr. Willie Wilson. And you will see the dates and the times and all of that information there. So please go check it out, because people always ask me, Zelda, why you didn't put this on my Facebook page? It's on Higher Learning TV show, and it's on my blog, ZeldaSpeaks.wordpress.com. So go check it out. You can't say you didn't know. Free groceries and free gas. Can't say you didn't know.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Fusan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hi, I'm Dr. CJ of Valona Health, where we combine orthopedic manual therapy and neuroscience to treat the whole person. Health tip for the day is keep it moving. Doesn't matter how, just keep it moving doing something you enjoy. Walking, dancing, rolling on the floor with your dogs or kids, really anything. The body craves movement to keep the bones, joints, and muscles happy. Even our mental health and internal organs and digestive system rely on our movements. Thanks for being a part of the Higher Learning Network on The Female Solution.
Monday Morning Mindfulness. If you just joined us, I hope you enjoyed the Monday Morning Mindfulness meditation. And I also hope that you shared it. And as we begin the show, we are joined by our executive producer, Naima Latif. Do we have two windows open somewhere? We got two. You got another window open somewhere, sis? Because something don't sound right. You got a window open? I don't. You gotta have something open. There you go. Fiesta. My sister, I'm sure she may be joining us this morning, too. Great Awakening Queen. She'll probably be joining us by internet, as she always does. But welcome, my sister. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on What is Death? Why Are We Afraid of It? Stories from the Other Side. I know people are waiting to hear this. Yeah. Because you have a fascinating story about stories from the other side, but I'll let you tell that.
Yes, and that is one of the things that was so transformative in my life, because like most people, you know, I didn't know. We hear about it growing up, whatever faith we're raised in, you know, we are basically made to fear the end and see it as a time of punishment if we didn't do good and all of that, and you know, fearing that we're going to hell and all that. So most of us think of death as the end of life, and, you know, even the words we use, oh, they're gone, oh, I've lost my parents, I lost my husband, I lost, you know, like, oh, you never see them again. And so there's a lot a lot of mourning because of the misperception of life being, you know, a beginning and an end, and then, you know, the person that you love is gone forever and you'll never see him again and you're all sad. So when my husband was diagnosed with cancer back in, I guess it was 2005, I believe, and we just finished completing, you know, the stage play that we did at the Gustavo Museum based on our books and so forth called Hip Hop Journey with the Ancestors. I mean, in the process of editing and everything. And so he got diagnosed with cancer, and the doctor was like, well, you ain't got but a year to live. You know, and so you feel like, well, they don't know. So, you know, we went into this whole regimen of health foods and herbs and all of that. And he actually, you know, a year later, he was still here. He lost a lot of weight, but, you know, we were able to sustain his life, and I still had faith, you know, we're going to be around for a while. But he did begin to decline and lost a lot more weight. And we kind of accepted the reality that this is how he's going to make his exit from this world. So we made an agreement. Because, you know, I mean, all we had is our religious faith, you know, we were Muslims and all of that. But I said, look, you get to the other side, you figure out a way to come back and tell me what's really going on. Because I want to know. I don't want to guess. I don't want to have faith. I want to have a no. You know, I want to know for sure. Figure it out, how to get a message to me.
Okay.
So he agreed to do that. So, he did in fact transition, and it was quite a moment. It was the last weekend of his life. He really had the cancer had spread and you know, kind of I think got to his brain because he was no longer able to speak.
Mm.
Literally, we're like communicating telepathically. People would come to visit him, you know, and I would have to interpret what he wanted or what he was saying. And it was that intuitive thing that just happened, which you always have with you and a spouse. You know that because you're married. It's that you actually do communicate telepathically. We just don't do it consciously. But
right.
At that point, I realized I have to feel intuitively what he is saying.
Right.
And that's what I did that last 24 hours of his life. And then I kind of felt, you know, as I went to bed that night, it was a Saturday night, and I kind of felt that Sunday morning he was going to transition sometime in the night. So, you know, I went to bed holding his hand, you know, and he's breathing, and he kind of slipped into a coma. He had, you know, he kind of had this fixed stare, but he was really more or less in a coma. And then his eyes closed, and he was breathing deeply, but, you know, I was holding his hand throughout the night.
He was breathing deeply, not shallow?
It was kind of like, it was...
labored?
Kind of, how would you describe it? Yeah, I don't know if you ever heard of it called, like, the death rattle, where,
yeah.
Like, you know, like,
yeah.
You got stuff caught in your throat.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Labored breathing.
You're not swallowing anymore. You're not. Your body. Your organs are shutting down.
Yeah.
So you know, you're not processing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And during the night, it was like we both entered another dimension, and gave me a hug. You know, I mean, it's like two of us. We were in spirit. And we were hugging each other, and it was like a, you know, final embrace before saying goodbye.
In the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm.
In the spiritual realm, because, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I was asleep, and I guess he was asleep, but that was what I experienced during that time. And then instantly I woke, and I felt his pulse slowing down, and then it stopped. And I realized he had departed.
He was gone.
And,
so you were at home in the bed with him.
Yeah, I was at home in the bed. I was still holding his hand. I could feel his pulse. So, you know, my daughter, because I had called, this is her first year in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I had called, I told her to come home she was staying on the campus at Loyola. So I told her to come home. I, you know, feel like this is going to be her father's last weekend. And so I called her into the room. She was in her bedroom across the hall. I called her into the room, and I told her, you know, he's passed away. And so she sat there for a while, and, you know, kind of quietly, and then she went back to her room. And as a matter of fact, I called her in when he was taking maybe his last breath, and I called her in, and I said, this is it. I think he's taking his last breath. And so we both were in there as he breathed his last breath. And then, you know, waited for a moment, and then she went back to her room. You know, and my daughter, she's an amazing soul. You know, she's not one to show when she's upset. She's got this calm exterior all the time. But I know it had to be turmoil for her because she was still like 17 going on 18. So I just kind of lay there in the bed with him for a while. And just reflected on it, because I'm thinking, oh, I mean, we had already decided he had a do not resuscitate sign on the wall.
Mm.
He had decided, you know, once I'm gone, let me go. Don't bring me back.
Right.
You know, I'm gone. I'll be at peace. So there was no rush, you know, it's not a call. Oh, stop breathing. I want to tell people about relationships real quick. You know, those kind of life and death decisions, I had to sign that order for do not resuscitate as his legal wife. Can't sign that as a girlfriend. You don't have no legal rights. As I don't care how long y'all live together. You got to have some documentation.
Mm-hmm.
So people say, oh, it's just a piece of paper. Yeah, but that piece of paper says, I trust this person to make a decision regarding my life. You ain't got that paper, you don't have that right.
Right.
So when people are deciding, you know, relationships, marriage, it comes down to this. Do I trust you with my life? Because that's what that document means. Because that's who has the authority when that decision has to be made. And when we had to sign the papers, and I was the only one who had the right to do that. So that helps you really realize when you make that decision, that's what you're deciding. I am trusting you with my life. So we had the do not resuscitate order. Of course, he had slipped away. He was gone. So I maybe took an hour just reflecting on what it all meant. You know, what does it really mean to pass away? Where do you go? You know, when you die and all of that. And, you know, what does existence really mean? And it was a deep moment. And I took some time, and maybe, like I said, about an hour or so before I called the family, because we lived in a two-family home. My mother-in-law and my brother-in-law lived downstairs. We lived upstairs. So I called them, and my mother-in-law, of course, she was all distraught. She just couldn't even come upstairs. It's just too much for her. He was her firstborn child, you know, so it tore her apart, realizing that he had passed away. And, you know, my brother-in-law, of course, you know, he came up. You call the people, the coroner, and so forth. And the thing about it, I have a friend who's Callahan Funeral Home, Edward and Shirley Callahan had handled my father, and so, you know, they were friends, I had a meeting with them actually the week before, because I knew this day was coming. I said, you know, I'm planning what's going to happen when my husband transitions, so, you know, we already knew the steps. You call a coroner and, you know, get the funeral home, they take the body and all of that. So because I had pre-planned things, there was not distress about it. I was able to easily do it. And also that Thursday, before my daughter came in for the weekend, and Sultan, my husband Sultan Abdul Latif, for people who don't know us, don't remember, that was his name.
Mm-hmm.
We had planned his funeral basically that Thursday while he could still talk. He lost the power of speech, I guess, somewhere around Friday or Saturday. He couldn't speak the last few days, last, you know, maybe 72 hours or whatever, but he could still say a few words on that Thursday. So I got a piece of paper, pen, and said, okay, who do you want to speak to your funeral? How do you want it to go? So we laid out the funeral program. He picked out the picture he wanted on the obituary. We did all of that, you know, that day. So he had everything planned, from who was going to speak, who was going to participate, mm-hmm. everything.
Mm.
know a person is leaving. I mean, you always have faith and hope and you keep praying and everything, but there's a point where you say, okay, this, you got to leave here some kind of way. This is the way this person is going to exit. So let us prepare so that afterwards we're not acting irrationally out of grief. We already are organized and prepared. So everything was prepared before he left. So I was at peace, but still it's the reality. This is my life partner. This is my best friend. This is my husband. All of that, you know. And he's gone.
Mm.
So, you know, I called the family and everything and you know, told them we've already made all the arrangements, got the funeral home, got the burial plot, got all of that, got people going to be on the program. So that was done. Now, it was maybe a week, because as a matter of fact, his services were that following weekend, because I told the Callahans, I told them, you know, if he passed away on the weekend, I want the services on the following weekend. So it, we already had the date scheduled.
Mm.
Yes. you know, I mean, I wanted this to go smoothly so that there was no stress involved in planning it at all. I even know where we're going to have, you know, one of the repast ceremonies at school where my daughter grew up, Betty Shabazz International Charter School. You know, they had a repast. My daughter by marriage, she had a repast throughout. So we already had stuff planned even before the event. And so there was no stress involved in that. So a week after the funeral, maybe like a day after the funeral, we had this agreement, you know, figure out how to tell me what's happening. So a couple of days after the funeral, he came to me in a dream, but it was one of those kind of his altered state kind of dreams where it's not really a dream. It's like, you know, it's a real occurrence, but you're not conscious. You're at another state of consciousness. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced that. If you haven't, then you probably can't figure out what I'm saying, but if you have, then you understand. So anyway, he said this thing to me. He said, the past, the present, and the future are all the same.
Wow.
Just go back in your mind to a time when we were together. Now, that was like a ritual, like a riddle, but since that time, I have now learned what that means, and I'll tell you what that means.
Okay.
Later on, but that is the reality of the past, the present, the future are all the same. So that was the first thing he said to me. I said, wow, okay, you got a message to me. So then over the next couple of days, you know, I would have these dreams where he'd appear, we'd be together, we were at a playground, you know, just kind of hang out, happy and smiling and, you know, there were other times where he would come to me, and then I had a different kind of experience. And let me see if I can remember the secret. Matter of fact, what I started doing, I had a blank tablet next to my bed. So I decided what I was going to do is record like a journal of all of our encounters. And so I did that. Started writing them down, you know, beginning with that first thing he said. So because we wrote books together, this is like we were writing another book together.
Okay.
So that's what evolved into this book, Visits from the Dream State. And so I'll read you, what time? Oh, well, we got to take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, I'll read you the portion of the book on the back.
Yeah, because that's a fascinating story. I can't wait to hear the rest of it. So it is 8 o'clock. If you just tuned in to the Female Solution, death and dying, what is it? And why are we afraid of it? So stay close after the commercial break, and we will be right back. Send this video to somebody and let them know it's okay.
Welcome to QuickClick, where customers can buy, share, and earn. Meet Sam. Sam owns an e-commerce business that sells athletic shoes and running gear. Sam wants to increase her sales without increasing marketing spend. So she decides to list her products on QuickLick. On QuickLick, her loyal customers can get paid for sharing her products with their friends. Sam uploads her products to the marketplace, just like she would on Amazon or Shopify. Meet Laura. Laura is in the market for a new pair of shoes and comes across Sam's brand on the QuickLick marketplace. Laura is able to purchase the shoes and check out like she would on any other e-commerce site. After purchasing, Laura receives a unique QuickLink that she can share with friends to begin earning Quick Cash. Her friend Jessica opens Laura's QuickLink on her phone and purchases a pair of shoes. Because Jessica purchases using Laura's QuickLink, Laura receives Quick Cash in her account. After purchasing, Jessica can now share her own QuickLink and begin earning Quick Cash as well. But QuickLink is more than just your typical referral or affiliate platform. QuickLink rewards customers for sales they directly and indirectly influence. So, for every sale Jessica's new QuickLink makes, Laura will earn additional Quick Cash as well, making the potential for earning exponential. Laura and Jessica can transfer their Quick Cash balance to their bank account at any time, or can even use Quick Cash to make additional purchases in the app. Meanwhile, Sam can just watch as the sales roll in. Best of all, she doesn't have to worry about costs, since she is only spending marketing dollars when actual purchases are made. Start buying, sharing, and earning today at QuickLink.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
I'm your host with our executive producer, Naima Latif, and we're talking about what is death, why are we afraid of it, stories from the other side. And we've got comments if you're listening online. We are at YouTube.com, Higher Learning TV Show, and Facebook, too, Higher Learning TV Show. Vieta Robinson says, Great Awakening Queen. She also says, as Ecclesiastics 3:4 says, a time to mourn. And sometimes good mourning is timely. What Naima is describing is a sort of mourning and awakening. How long each of us stay in mourning for someone or something is very individual and unique. Yes, because I wanted to mourn when I'm in the company of those who are mourning, but I have to keep my awakening consciousness open because yesterday I went to the funeral of my Bitwiss partner, and I don't do funerals, but I went there because he was my partner in Bitwiss. Her name is Vicky, and it's on the YouTube page. And her family, it wasn't a lot of crying because I think people are waking up. You know, there was a few tears here and there, but people are waking up. We are not what we used to be. We're going more Mardi Gras style.
Celebrate the life.
Celebrate. And that's exactly what they said, a celebration of life. So thank you, Vicky.
You know, I'm going to say they party over there.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
I'll be to a party, but we'll tell that story also.
Okay, please do. Please do. And yet please continue that story because people need to know.
Yes, and I did check. I just checked in the break, and they do still have copies of it on Amazon. You can get the book on Amazon. Naima Latif, author, and of course the title is Visits from the Dream State. So, yes.
Visits, girl, put that book back up there. Visits from the Dream State.
So this is the book you'll look for. It's on Amazon. I made sure I checked before I did because, you know, sometimes they be sold out.
So you can go to Amazon.com and find this Visits from the Dream State, Naima Latif. And you can see her name is right there. Spell it. There it is. See it? N-A-I-M-A-H.
Now this was one of those phenomena. Now, throughout my life, I have had out-of-body experiences, which if anybody's ever had this, a very strange thing that happens. Your soul separates from your body. And it's a really weird thing. Now, what happens with me, I get like ringing in my ears, and my body vibrates, and then I feel the separation from my soul and my body. Sometimes something weird happens where I can hear the internal organs working. I can hear the blood rushing through my heart and veins. I mean, it's really strange. If you've ever experienced it, you understand what I'm saying. If you haven't, then
keep living.
Keep living. But so I was going through that mourning period. It was after the funeral, and you know, I was starting to feel lonely. I was still in the process because that film that he had done right before he passed away, it was my job to finish editing it because, you know, the whole thing was to edit the film, get it to the theater and all of that. And so I was still sad about that and, you know, really feeling sort of depressed. And, you know, the way we used to sleep at night, we'd kind of be cuddled up, you know, he'd hold me in his arms and that was how we slept.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling really bad, so I put the pillows next to me so I could feel like somebody was in a bed next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, whole thing. You know, and then one night, I went into that altered state. I felt my body separating from my soul separating from my body, and I start hearing sounds. I heard somebody walking. I heard like a rustling sound, like some footsteps. And then I felt Sultan get into the bed with me, but it's like the pillows were in the way where he used to sleep because I put the pillows there. So I felt him actually get on top of me and whisper in my ear. I felt the pressure from his body. I felt it.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, for a minute it kind of unnerved me because, I mean, you know, you're feeling ghost presences and stuff like that. So, you know, for a minute it unnerved me. I'm in a dark room and this thing is happening. And so it just for a moment and then it's gone. And it's like I came back into my body and I'm back in this dimension of time and everything. And it's all dark and I'm thinking, well, maybe I should turn on the lights. I'm like, no, let me not react to fear. I'm in this apartment by myself. I need to get used to whatever's happening because I did ask him to come back.
Yes,
so
you did.
I need to just keep calm and allow however he's going to communicate keep happening. So sometime later, maybe, you know, a couple weeks or whatever, again, you know, still going through that mourning phase. And I felt him come into the room, and I felt him coming, and I felt him get in the bed. The pool was right next to me then, so he said, get in the bed, and I felt him put his arms around me.
Oh, wow.
And it was just such a peaceful feeling of comfort, and he did that maybe for 2-3 nights after that. And it was almost like helping me through the grieving process. He came and put his arms around me. And I was able to get to sleep. And when I woke up the next day, I felt so refreshed and relaxed.
Mm.
So that was that experience. So I started thinking, you know, this is a phenomenon happening. I wanted to know more about it. I went on Google, and I was looking up stuff like astral projection and all of that. And I thought there has to be a way to actually summon him, you know. And I was looking up telepathy because I was thinking, you know, there's a way that you connect with the energy of a person. And the thought came to me, well, if you focus on the love that you feel, the love is an energy. If you focus on the love that you feel, you focus on how the feeling of their aura or when you're in their presence. And if you focus on that, can you actually summon their soul to you? So that was a hypothesis that I had. So I thought I was going to try it one night. I was going to go to bed and try to summon him to me.
Hmm.
So now this is what happened when I did that. So this is, and I tell about on the back of this book, it says, where will you go when you die and leave this world? What if a departed loved one came back to tell you all about it? My husband, Sultan Abdul Latif, passed away Sunday morning, October 21st, 2007. He was lying next to me in our bed, and I awoke instantly as I realized his slow, raspy breath had suddenly ceased. What happened a few months later was absolutely phenomenal. I felt myself drifting into another dimension, a state of altered consciousness. My eyes were closed. I still didn't quite have the courage to open them and see. But I felt a warm light above me, slightly to the left. I felt Sultan's presence. And he said to me in a clear voice, Naima Latif. He sounded jovial, in a good mood, speaking in a slightly humorous tone. He said, you want to be with me? I thought that if I said yes, I would be agreeing to end my earthly life. I couldn't yet. I felt that my work on earth was far from finished. I have to serve my time, I replied. You just want to go to meetings and hang out and give presentations and all that stuff. as he always had about wanting to stay involved in the community and be an activist.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure if he was disappointed that I hadn't said yes. I have to serve my time, I insisted. Then later that day, as I thought about our conversation, the idea came to me. What if he wasn't asking me to end my life in order to be with him? What if he was offering to show me how to enter his dimension at will?
Mm. Mm.
That's in the back of the book. And over time, we had various encounters, and I started researching, and that's when I started meeting various people online, people who were doing various things and talking about near-death experiences and, you know, all the people that I quote on my 555 remarks, those are people that I discovered in my search of understanding how to more cross over and meet someone who's on the other side. So now, I had an experience where he physically came and got me and pulled me out of my body, pulled my soul out of my body. And then we both entered an altered reality, or maybe I entered where he is now living, but it was it was quite an experience. And experience helped me understand that you can do that. You know, a person who is gone isn't gone, they're just in another dimension.
Mm.
And during that time, I was having these experiences. You know, I'm living life and I'm keeping this diary of each of these things, but it's like every day was an adventure of discovering something else. And each time I had a meeting with him, I would write it down on the pad next to my bed. So now, there was one time when he came to me and you know, our daughter, she was still in college, like she was still on the campus in college. But one afternoon, I lay down for a nap, and I woke up, and I felt somebody, like, scrunched up in the bed, at the head of the bed, and it's like, you know, they were, like, balled up, and I felt a foot on the side of my face, and, you know, my first thought was, is this a kid? Did she come? No, she didn't come. She came home for the weekend, but she's at my sister's house, so no, look. And then I realized, and I felt the foot, and you know, my first foot, your soft foot, just behind part of your body, so I could tell by, you know, when skin was peeling on the side, it was the foot, it was the foot, I saw his hair, because he had, like, straighter hair in the back, you know, he had sort of like that, wavy, straight hair, sort of, in the back, and I felt, I was feeling his physical expression, and he straightened out his body, and he said, you know, I need to get my face back, and it was like, you know, move the pillows out, because I every time I slept, I had to start, you know, put the pillows back, so I could feel like he's in bed with me, and all that, so, you know, it was a very sensory experience. I was smelling the scent, because, you know, the scent of your husband's body, you know, all those things. I felt his hair, I felt, you know, his foot, I felt, you know, and it was like his physical presence was there.
Mm.
But it only lasted for a moment, and then it was like I awoken out of that altered dimension again, and I'm thinking that this is interesting. There's a place of, what they used to say on the Twilight Zone, dimension of sight and sound.
Yes, yes.
Twilight Zone, whatever that was, I was meeting him in some altered conscious place where we could both go and meet. And I was trying to figure out how that's done. And then I was thinking, you know, religiously, is this evil, is this wrong, is this bad? I mean, it's supposed to be, if you're dead, you can't come back. So I said, well, I need to find a way to be able to ask him these things. So I put in my mind, you know, okay, next time I fall asleep and I meet with him, I'm going to ask him, you know, is it okay if we talk, because you're supposed to be gone, and am I supposed to not meet with you, and you know, what are you doing there, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of thing. So I did have a meeting with him.
You did.
And this is what happened. Oh, now the first time, oh, then this part, and the part that I just described, I had asked him, you know, is it okay for you to be here? But he was mumbling. I couldn't understand what he was saying. So after that happened, I said, well, maybe it's like you have to be sort of tuned in to the right frequency or something.
Mm.
It's like with an antenna, you know, how you had old antennas, you had to, you know, connect. And I couldn't figure out I couldn't understand what he was saying. And I was trying to figure out, how do you tune in to the right frequency so that you can have clear communication and then you can talk? So now this was the preschool part. Okay, this is from chapter 8, June 7, 2008. The clock says 4:55 a.m. It's a few minutes fast, but that really doesn't matter. I'm just returning from an incredibly beautiful journey. I had been up all night. I was watching Spanish TV shows and listening to Urdu language tapes while reading my Urdu language book, trying to work toward my goal of being a multilingual interpreter. It was about 3:30 in the morning when I finally turned off the light. I was still restless. My body wouldn't sleep and my mind was tired, but I forced it to stay awake. The birds were starting to sing. I looked at the clock. It lights up in the dark so I can see the numbers. It was almost 4:30, I recall. I thought, it's almost time for prayer, and I haven't even been to sleep. At that point, I felt that strange vibration that comes when I'm about to have an out-of-body experience. It was as if I felt someone at my feet, pulling my soul out of my body. I made a conscious effort to relax and let it happen, almost like letting someone pull you out of a zipped-up sleeping bag. I felt a man's arm around my legs. Sultana, I thought. I immediately started thinking, I love my husband. I love my husband. That's a little mantra I used to do in order to, like, invoke that. He kept pulling, and eventually I was completely out of my body and had entered another dimension. I put my arms around him. Sure enough, it was him. We were in a place that looked like the block I grew up on. There were people around us, but I got the impression that the people existed in the other dimension and couldn't see us. I remembered my question. Is it okay for you to talk to me? I asked. I couldn't see his face yet. My head only came up to his shoulders, and as we stood facing each other, my eyes were at the level of his chest. But his voice came back clear. Is it okay for you to talk to me? He asked. I guess Allah doesn't mind. I'm here, I answered. Now I can lift my head and see his face. He was younger and slimmer looking, but not the weight loss of his sickness, more like the slim build of his youth. We were outside, and it was as if it were turning from dusk to nightfall. But I could see he was well-dressed. That sure is a sharp shirt and pair of pants you have on, I remarked. Yeah, he laughed. He had always been into dressing stylishly when he could. I remembered my other question. Have you seen your grandmother? Yeah, I saw her, he said. How is she? She's all right, he answered. From his tone of voice, I tried to figure out how their reunion had been. I'm guessing he enjoyed seeing her, but they may not necessarily hang out together all the time. They probably have different friends, different interests, and may even be having a different spiritual experience. The more we talked, the clearer his face became. I looked around, and even though it was turning nightfall where we were, the colors were so bright. Then Sultan started prancing around like a young man, obviously enjoying being youthful and stylishly dressed. He seemed to have a full head of hair and a fresh haircut and seemed to have all of his teeth. He was quite handsome. We walked to a house that seemed to be the house I grew up in, and there seemed to be teenagers hanging in front of the house, hanging out and talking, but they couldn't see us. I wondered if we were ghosts. I wondered if it was always like this, where spirits walked among you and you couldn't see them because they lived in another dimension. So Tom was standing on the top steps of the house and seemed to be playing on the steps, nimbly stepping up and down the steps like I used to do as a child. He walked over to me, and I marveled at how I had been able to enter his world. Then I felt myself drifting away. It was over. I was back in my bed. The clock said 4:55 a.m. This was certainly an unexpected treat. All week I had been trying to enter that special spiritual place through the dream state, but every night I was so exhausted and I fell into a deep sleep and didn't wake until morning. This night I hadn't slept at all, at least not for more than a few minutes, yet I felt oddly refreshed. As if I had slept for hours.
How's that possible?
That was that experience.
Wow. What an experience.
Now, throughout the book, I'm recounting times when we got together, we talked, he's telling me about, he was concerned about his brother and how I should help him and, all those things. And so I talk about it, some chapters I talk about when I'm doing research into this whole astral travel thing, because I'm trying to figure out, how these... So I just developed a method of connecting. And that's why I shared this book with people who, they lose their spouse or close loved ones, because in it I'm actually explaining how you make that telepathic connection to your loved one that has crossed over. And during the past years, I've discovered online, you know, on the internet, hidden in plain sight, as they say.
Hidden in plain sight.
People who are psychic mediums, people who do channeling, people who remember past lives. And I've just learned so much that go beyond what our limited religious teachings tell us. Because, you know, even if people have the best of teachings, we can only interpret it according to our limited understanding.
Right.
And that's how come religions get distorted, because people don't understand the reality of eternity. And in the process of researching, I discovered that we're living in different dimensions, but you can travel to different dimensions and meet with someone who has crossed over and be with them just as if they had not left. But usually when they cross over, you know, they're involved in other activities, and this dimension is so negative. Nobody wants to come back. But if you were able to raise your vibration where you can meet with them, that's different. They don't have to lower themselves, so to speak, to come back, because it's very dense and bad environment. So I had a meeting with him where I had a couple of different situations where I was taken out of my body and taken to different places. So now this was...
You talk about spiritual growth. Good Lord.
Yes. I mean, and once you understand, you never go back. I mean, once you know something, you can't unknow it.
Right.
So, you know, when you experience something, you say, oh, no, that can't be it, because, you know, the Bible says, you know, you know, you're like, I don't really have a need to argue this.
Right.
You know, because
right.
What I have experienced was for my growth, and where
right.
you are is where you are. And
right.
I'm not going to argue with you. When it's time for you to know things, then you'll be led to things that help you. But right now, you are where you are, and I'm not going to judge you for it. I'm not going to argue with you about it. You have your time to grow, and you will get the experience you need to get you to where you're supposed to go by the end of this life. You know, but if you're distressed about death, I have to bring comfort to you, and that's what I feel like this experience for me was, to bring comfort to people who may either be afraid of dying or death or feel sad. And so that's what it's for. But, you know, I don't get into arguing.
Right. Kind of unnecessary.
But now, this one meeting that we had, because my son was really into filmmaking. He loved, you know, to talk about when he was in film school and, you know, film projects he had done and all of that, and his friends. And so that was a really good time in his life. And I discovered, you know, over the years, I discovered, you know, you tend to... You paint the things that you like, you know, on the other side, you know, and you meet with friends and people that you love, you know, so it really is joy there. And so this particular experience I had was when I had a chance to go to, I guess, you know, he's taking film class. So anyway, this is from, what time is it? Oh, you know what? Break time. Let me go. Take a break and then I'll come back.
Okay. It's 8:29. If you just joined the conversation this morning, it is a very enlightening conversation. I'm learning and I hope you're learning too. If you would like to put your comments in the comment line, we would love to hear what you have to say. Chris says, have you ever experienced switching places with a person from another dimension? So in other words, you're switching places. Wow, that's an interesting question. Think about that. And when we come back from the break, we will discuss that. I'm going to go and get some tea, Naima, so you can hit the next commercial after this.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insights, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
You know what I mean?
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Joining us back here for a last half hour on the Female Solution. We may or may not be going into the after show. We'll see what happens. It looks like we just might be doing it because we got a lot of hands up and I got a lot of questions, and I don't know if we can get through it in a half an hour. But today's topic is, what is death? What are we afraid of? Why are we afraid of dying? And stories from the other side. For those of you who just joined us, this is the photo. Thank you, Chris, for that comment. We're going to speak on that in just a second.
Yeah.
This is the lady on the left is my BFF, Deborah Smith, who just passed this past week. And the girl on the right is Deborah Mundy. We all grew up in Stateway Gardens together in the projects, which is now called Park Place. And 3651 South Federal. I lived in apartment 907. She lived in 411. And Deborah Mundy lived in 3739, which was the next building. And Deborah met after I left and went south, moved south to live with my aunt because my mom passed. And they have been friends thick and thin since then. And Deborah on the right, this Deborah here, took care of this Deborah here. The last year of her life, and she lives in Vegas. Do you hear me? She was flying back here, back and forth to take care of her. That's a real friend. She said, no, we are not putting her in a nursing home. We are not putting her in hospice. We're not putting her anywhere. I'm going to take care of her. And that is exactly what she did.
Wow.
But came August, she had to leave because she had to get her grandson. She's helping her daughter take care, her daughter Mila, take care of her son Ashton. And this is the horrible part about it. Mila, her daughter, got here day before yesterday, I think it was, and she got the call from the vet. They had to put the vet in the, you know, to keep him dog sitting while they're both out of town. Got called and said the dog died.
Okay. Yes.
And guess what the dog died from? Stress. I never heard of such a thing in my life. The dog died from stress. So this is my thinking.
Before or after she passed away?
After she passed. So I'm thinking.
Our animal friends are spiritually connected to us, and we see them on the other side as well.
Oh, wow. So I had just gotten, and I'm going to post that video too, And I never take pictures of dogs. I took like maybe 30-second video of the dog. He was playing in front of me because I'm not a pet lover. And I never take pictures. And I took a video of him, and I'm so glad I did because I don't know if they have one or not, but I got one. So I'm going to post that on my blog too. But I just had to share this with you. So today's show, I still got that up there. Today's show is dedicated to the memory of Deborah Peterson. Deborah Smith. She was married a couple of times. I'm sorry. Deborah Smith and Deborah Mundy. So thank you both ladies for being such an inspiration in my life. Deborah's here now cleaning out her apartment. Lord have mercy. It's just, you know how it is. We don't want to let them go. But I talk to her. I talk to her every day, all day. I talk to her.
Gotta get
rid of using, you know, the physical. I want to hug her and squeeze her and hold her and touch her and call her, and I can't do that. So now experience is waking me up even more because you've got to learn to operate in the not in the physical form but in the spiritual sense, the grit, the energy of who we are. Because that's all we are is energy, but they ain't going to tell us that because they don't want us to know how powerful we are. That's why we got those t-shirts for you to take a look at and remind yourself of who you are. Take those selfies and learn what the rich people know about clothing.
Absolutely. Well, you already do a meditation exercise. So that's the beginning of getting you to that altered state.
Yes.
Where you will be able to connect with her in spirit and maybe even hear her voice and other metaphysical things that can happen even though a person has transitioned because their energy is eternal, you know, and so they're not gone.
Deborah Smith says, greeting everyone. We can't measure how long mourning grieving lasts nor when it begins. For instances of persons in a hospice state or once they've crossed over, we have to be about the business of celebration, of life program, and estate closing. Say that, Ms. Deborah. Yes, ma'am.
And that's why I did a lot of the organized stuff before he passed. Because afterwards, you don't know what your state of mind is going to be in terms of grief. And you might not have the presence of mind even to be able to organize yourself to get it done. So, you know, plan for what's inevitable so that way you're not functioning in a state of grief.
I love
I love what Chris says. Have you ever experienced switching places with a person from another dimension? So, in other words, you're switching places. So, is that what you did?
Well, it wasn't switching places. It was going to his place. Because, you know, like I said, when once a person leaves you, they don't want to come back here. This is not a, this is not my, energetically, it's very depressing. So, you literally have to find a meeting place that they are comfortable coming to, because they don't want to see where you at.
Chris says, Debbie Peterson was my aunt. Interesting you misspoke her name. No, baby. Deborah.
She has a Debbie Peterson. That's her
aunt. Yeah, her name is not Debbie. It's Deborah. So I'm not sure which one. If you saw that picture, her name is Deborah. She was married. Her name was Deborah Wright, Deborah Peterson, and now Deborah Smith, because she's been married a couple of times. He says, Chris says, yes. Okay, Chris.
All right, here we go.
Okay, that is the right one. Okay, so you know.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Chris. Greatly appreciate it. But I want you to go back to that question Chris had. Oh, you answered it, yeah.
Yeah, you don't switch places. You go to a place where you can meet, which means you have to leave your third dimension reality and go.
Now, see, that's something I need you to explain, and I see all these calls. We're going to take them in just a moment, but maybe we'll talk about this in the after show, because I got a lot of questions, because I want you to talk about the soul, the spirit, and dimensions and frequency. So we're going to talk about that on the after show. Let's get to some of these calls. Area code 407-701, Grand Rising. You're live on The Female Solution. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Grand Rising, Great Awakening, ladies. This is Viata in Florida.
Hey, sis. Thank you so much for calling.
I am just so amazed at Naima's story, and I was thinking about, as I mentioned, how we all have such a unique experience of mourning and awakening. And, you know, my awakening took place after my sister lived with me for 9 months with breast cancer. When she passed, the number 3 was everywhere. So my awakening was to the language of the universe, numbers. I was like, wow, number 3 is everywhere. So I wasn't focused so much on the invisible elements in around her, except I just looked at her body and she had opened her mouth and her spirit left. But from there on, it was about understanding emotions, the energy of emotions, because her being with me for 9 months before she passed, I observed all this energy from her grief, unforgiveness, and guilt. And so that's why I'm doing what I'm doing today, is I was prepared because someone died or someone left their body, and I was reminded at that point by the universe, by spirit, that, okay, pay attention to the numbers and pay attention to the energy and motion that caused her body to decay. So I'm just appreciating your story, and I'm sure everybody, if they witnessed that, there was something in that person's transition that hopefully awakened them, and they didn't have to stay in mourning, because I have conversations about good mourning. We shouldn't say that. No, there's a time to mourn. And then hopefully you move on, and some people stay in that mourning for longer periods of time than others, but I didn't stay in the mourning period long at all, because that number, the numbers and her, all that was teaching me, like Naima is sharing. She was having so many lessons from spirit that you can't stay in mourning long. You're like, oh, okay, I need to learn something. So thank you for this conversation, and I'm just really reflecting on how we're all so unique in our experience with death and transition, but we can come out of mourning and start sharing the lessons from that experience. So thank you, ladies, for this conversation.
Thank you for joining the call this morning. Vieta is our host from, if you didn't hear the show last night, all I got to say is...
Ooh, that was a hot one.
The shows are in the archives. You got to go hear it. BlogTalkRadio.com, The Female Solution, and on Soul Purpose Healing on Facebook. You have got to go. Vieta Robinson, my sister from another mister. You got to go hear this show. It's like, I learned so much. I host this show, but I'm here to learn.
Oh, yeah. Always a learning experience.
Wow.
Well, sometimes a therapy session.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
and we need therapy. Anybody that's living in a body needs therapy. It ain't just black folk, white folk, Chinese folk. It's a body. If you got a body, you need therapy because we all been in trauma, some shape, form, or fashion. Go ahead, Naima.
Yes. So I'll read this portion and you can take the next caller.
Okay.
This is from chapter 14. Tuesday, September 23rd, 2008, 6:56 a.m. I just returned from another visit with Sultan. It was very interesting. During it all, I was just enjoying his presence, so I didn't make a mental note to remember everything that was said, but I'll try to recall as much as I can. It's Ramadan, the Muslim period of fasting, and I've been trying to be consistent about getting up to eat a meal before the morning prayers, which signals the start of the daily fast. I actually never officially went to bed last night, but again fell asleep in my clothes after staying up late in front of the computer. I had spent a few weeks at my sister's house in Boston and was now back in Chicago trying to get caught up on some work. I recently acquired a new laptop and I've been trying to learn how to work the features on it. After waking up at 3:30 a.m., I brushed my teeth and ate last night's leftovers from dinner and a bowl of cereal as my morning meal. Then I said my morning prayers and read a couple of pages from the Holy Quran. I'm trying to read in Arabic and translate each Arabic word into English as I go, which makes reading a slow process. I tend to get sleepy afterwards. When I took off all my street clothes and got into bed, the clock said 5:56. I figured I had at least an hour or two to try to concentrate and induce the altered conscious state in order to see Sultan. At this point, my memory is a little fuzzy. I first drifted into a dream about my mother and then awakened and saw a bit of daylight outside the bedroom window. I didn't look at the clock, but I was worried that it was already too late. I started trying to pray and meditate. I felt that spinning sensation. Then I began to hear the soft jazz music, and I knew that Sultan was about to bring me into his world. I felt my soul separate from my body, and my arms, my spiritual arms, were reaching upward to grab the hand of whoever was there to help me. I felt the covers being pulled back from my body, and I started thinking, I love my husband. I love my husband. This seems to create the energy that draws him to me and me to him. I felt my soul being pulled off the bed and out of the room. I knew I was now in the other dimension. I opened my eyes. I was in what seemed to be some type of classroom, perhaps a computer lab. There were a few rows of chairs in the area where I sat, and in front of me was a long desk-like structure with rows of four computers on it, like the way computer labs are commonly set up. But the fluorescent type of lighting in the room and in the area where the computer screen sat made me think that the room was some sort of film lab. At each computer was a chair, and behind that was the door to the room. Someone came through the door and sat at one of the computers, the one closest to me. I think I asked the person, is Sultan coming? Another person came and sat in another chair, and then another person came and sat in the chair at the computer furthest from me. Then Sultan came in. At first he looked at the desk. At first he looked on the desk where the computers were, as if he was trying to find something. I didn't know if he saw me sitting there on the opposite side of the desk or not. He seemed to find what he was looking for, a little card or something. Then he looked up at me and smiled. They must have got you right after you washed up, he said, as he sat at the computer. It occurred to me that I wasn't wearing any clothes. And perhaps his assumption was that I had just gotten out of the bathtub. I had a fleeting moment of self-consciousness about it, since it seemed that everybody else was dressed. But after that, I didn't think any more about it, and it didn't seem to be a big deal to anyone else in the room. Everybody sitting at the computer seemed to have a little card in their hand, like the one Sultan picked up. Sultan and the other three people all stuck their cards into the side of their computers, and it seemed to activate a little game on the screen. I could hear little bell sounds as each of them laughed as they worked the keys on the keyboard, apparently playing the game in competition with each other. I guess the little bell sounds signaled points in the game. Finally, the game stopped. I got the impression that this was some sort of recreation period during their break time between class sessions. I think the classroom is a type of film lab, and I think the computers are set up or used for editing film projects during their regular class sessions. I think I came during their break time when they had a few minutes to relax. I walked over to Sultan, He was younger, with a full head of fuzzy black hair. His skin was smooth. He was very handsome. "They're letting me come and see you," I said cheerfully. He smiled. "Yes, you'll be able to come see me." We talked a little about the project, A Hip-Hop Journey with the Ancestors. I asked him if he liked the editing job we did so far, and he said, "Yes," and made a few other observations, but I don't remember the exact words. He mentioned a phone number I should call and get in touch with someone, and said he would write down the number for me. He opened a drawer at the desk to pull out a piece of paper and a pen. When he opened the drawer, I saw a lot of scattered little pieces of paper with notes in his handwriting on them, in much the same disorganized fashion in which he kept his desk drawer at home. I laughed. I had always talked to him about how messy he kept his drawers, and how he had always replied, "Well, at least he knew where all his things were, so just leave him alone." "He's going to have a messy desk drawer," I teased him, laughing. I thought it was so funny that even in heaven, his drawer was still messy. He picked up a small piece of paper, and I saw the name of one of his longtime friends and a phone number under the name. "Is this a number?" I asked. "No, this one." He took a pencil and wrote another number on the paper, and above that number he wrote, "For Sister Naima Latif." This was the phone number I was supposed to call, but I knew I wouldn't remember it unless I rewrote it myself on a larger piece of paper. I looked around on the desk for another piece of paper. As I felt myself drifting away, I realized I had forgotten to ask him the remarriage question. I was so excited to be there, I didn't think about it. And the next moment, I was back in my bed. The visit was over. The clock said 6:56 a.m. I can't remember any of the telephone numbers he showed me. It seemed that the one number started with the exchange 918, I think, but I don't even remember the area code. But I do intend to call his friend, whose name was written on the paper. It's a longtime friend of his who has always been supportive of our business ventures. So maybe it's significant that his name was written down. Sultan used to speak about his days in film school quite often. He loved filmmaking. He loved writing stories. Apparently this is what he's doing, writing plays, developing film ideas. He looked quite happy and content where he is.
And he looked happy, and you look happy as well.
Yeah.
I do. I do look forward to having that experience, not necessarily with my husband, but,
with someone you love. Now, one of the things, and of course, this has been 15 years since he's transitioned, but every year during Ramadan, which is kind of, you know, the Muslim holy month and period of fasting, we always get together spiritually. You know, always have a visitation, so that's kind of our special time to visit every year. And I'm sure it's because I'm at a higher vibration. You know, I'm praying, I'm fasting, and so he's able to reach me, and I'm able to reach him. So, you know, we still, and I don't bother him any other times because, you know, I'm sure he's having fun doing things and so forth. I've had many, many, many experiences with him over the years, and I've considered another book or maybe even a screenplay I'm thinking of to talk about what we have experienced together. And love is eternal. You know, the people that you love, you are always with them. They're always with you. So there's no need to mourn. But what I learned in terms of how to reconnect, there is a technique that I discovered. And it's kind of like starting out with what you do with the Monday morning mindfulness meditation. You've got to get yourself into that quiet meditative state. And what I used to say, and just recalling, and everybody that you know has an aura. And I don't know how to describe it in words, but it's the feeling of their personal energy, their own personal energy. Everybody has one. We don't think about it constantly because, you know, we focus on the physical. But if you were to close your eyes in the presence of a person, you would still feel their spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you can't see them, you know it's them.
Mm-hmm. I have that all the time. I got relatives like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what you're doing, you're going to, in your meditation, you're going to recall the feeling of their energy. And that's what you're doing as you breathe. And with me, you know, when I say I love my husband, I'm recalling the loving feeling between us. I'm recalling what his energy feels like. And that's how you summon a person's energy to you.
Mm.
That's how I was able to reach that meditative state where I could enter another dimension of time and meet him.
Mm.
So if a person is, and maybe the best time to do that, and I talk about it in the book too, the best time to do this sort of meditation, like in the middle of the night, maybe like 3 o'clock in the morning, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
On an empty stomach. Yes.
Because if your body's processing food, you know, it slows you down. You can't, and that's probably why I could meet him during the fasting period, because, you know, that is when your body is not processing food and you're able to be more spiritually in tune.
Right.
But over the years, I've been studying telepathic communication. I'm a certified interspecies communicator, meaning I can, you know, connect telepathically with animals. Animals never lost their telepathic skills. Human beings lost the skills because we don't think we're supposed to have them. I mean, we've done stupid things like kill people if they demonstrated other skills because we're afraid, you know, calling them witches and everything.
Yep.
But all of us are telepathic.
Yep.
We get trained out of it after the age of 2. But prior to that time, that is how we're communicating. We just do it unconsciously.
Yep.
So we can reclaim that skill. And it doesn't leave when a person transitions. You're still connected. And you can, and they're still sending you thoughts. You might think, you know, a thought just pop into your head, oh, you know, let me go pick up this book. And then, you know, you open the book and there's a check they wrote you and didn't get a chance to give it to you, and there it is. And you think that you just thought of that.
Yeah.
But they sent you that thought.
Right.
From where they did, you picked it up.
It had to come from somewhere.
Yeah. Happens all the time. It happens with your animal friends. You know, you got a pet and, you know, suddenly the thought comes into your head, oh, let me put some water in their dish. And you didn't think about it, but mm-hmm. their water dish is empty. They sent you the thought, I'm thirsty, fill the dish. And
okay.
And so everybody is communicating telepathically all the time. Human beings do it unconsciously because we believe we don't know how. We believe we're not supposed to.
Right.
Even in this visit with the dream thing, even with connecting with him, I was afraid, okay, well, you know, religiously, is this correct? I mean, I'm not supposed to do this. Am I supposed to do this? You know, I don't know if it's right or wrong. You know, is it evil? I mean, all this stuff that you think, I didn't know.
Right.
So my first question was, is it okay for me to be doing this?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And apparently, yes, it is, because we're still doing it. And I realized that he had to transition in order for me to go through the awakening that I went through, in order for me to discover all the things that I've discovered in researching so that I could understand, so that I could teach and help and grow spiritually. And it's really been a fascinating journey because it's beyond religion.
Yes, and our understanding of it.
Yes. But if you understand the spirituality, then the religions as they were before they were altered and distorted makes sense, because you understand the essence of what was taught by the original spiritual teacher before people who didn't understand reinterpreted and put that little negative spin on it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that, you know, and what was happening, the last part of the book, I was trying to ask him about me getting remarried, because I needed to know, what should I be looking for? You know, do I need to find somebody to make sure they're in my religious group? Because, you know, we've been talking, if you just marry a Muslim, and it's got to be this, got to be that. Or should I be looking for a person with a certain kind of soul? You know, tell me what I should be looking for. So that, in the last chapter, I'm trying to find him again and have him help me make that decision about how I go about getting remarried. And
But I would love to hear his response to the question.
Well, I'll read that portion.
And while you're looking for it, we got some hands up. Let's take some calls. 515-605.
Oh, you know, it's 9 o'clock. I don't know if we want to make sure our internet audience.
Yeah, if you're watching, you want to make a comment, you need to push 1 right now because it's 9 o'clock and I didn't play the closing and I got to go play it. But we're going to take your calls if you push 1 right now and we'll be right back.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
The after show, and we're still talking about what is death, why are we afraid, stories from the other side. But what you're looking at right now is the weekly donation that we do to the homeless, the unhoused, at Tent City. And why do we do that? Because we've been asked to do it by the Creator. This is our dedication to the plight of the homeless. And now you can't hear it, yeah, but I'll let you hear a little bit. It keeps freezing, so.
Ryan, you can see it right there.
We need tents. We need more tents.
Kennedy, sorry about that. Kennedy.
We got them 10. No, they need ten.
We
got 4. Thank you. We need 6 more. So,
but they need more, as you can see. Cause...
I don't know why it's freezing, but I'm just going to talk just a second here. These are the 4 tents that we got. They need 6 more. Donations are tax deductible at the higherlearningnetwork.org. And these are some of the food that was donated from European American Association. That they do this weekly. And I mean, there is tons of food in there. Good fruits, vegetables, bread, watermelons, peaches, pears, apples, pineapples. Even got a little Go Bears cake. So, yeah, we are most grateful for the European American Association, yes, because they set it out. And a special thanks to Margie, the food distribution manager. She always makes sure that they get whatever they need. So thank you so very much for that. We got some food, but now winter is coming, and they need a few more things like butane, blankets, hot, you know, cold foods. Not cold food, hot foods, you know what I mean. And I just ask that you find it in your heart to send them, if you can't send a donation, take some blankets or gloves or boots or something, because it's getting cold, and they live in those little thin tents. So you're waking up complaining about what you don't have. Give thanks for what you do have, because somebody somewhere doesn't have that. So I said all that to say, please go to thehigherlearningnetwork.org. We had our cash app. There it is, Cash App and Zelle information floating below too. We're gonna go to the phone lines and get some phones, but I would love to get some more of these comments in. Chris says, I often find those who've transitioned come with smell. For instance, Dad, number two, always ate toast for breakfast, and what I smell when he's around. Okay, Chris.
Well, that's interesting because the sensory memory that you have, and sometimes that's how you know their spirit is missing. Whatever the sensory memory that evokes in you of them, you will experience that.
Chris says, I love you've written a book. Congratulations. And fascinating partnership. Yeah, because I've never heard anything like this myself, Chris. Ever. And I've been on this planet almost 70 years, and I ain't never heard that. So thank you, Naima, for sharing that information. And for those who are on the switchboard who want to comment, let us go to 706-202. I do believe that is Baba Kwame Sunhorse from Georgia. Grand Rising.
Grand Rising, and assalamu alaikum to my sister Naima. Naima,
Yes. It's
one part in what you shared, and thank you for sharing about, you know, your husband. The time was 6:56, and if you add it up, that means 17, and you add it together, it's an 8. That's 8 is infinity. It's forever, and that was being shown to you in that time of energy exchange.
Wow.
And so we have to begin to look at all of these symbols, because we sometimes look at the clock, and it'll say 111 or 222. Those are signs and symbols, and the energy of exchange, what we think that we've lost is our instincts. That's our solar plex. That's our gut, and that's what animals, they can tell when the weather is changing, or they can tell when storms are coming. And we still have those abilities, but we've so been distracted and interdetained by all of the medias and the things that are surrounding us. But when you come back into nature, because I was just sitting here listening to the show and looked down, and there was a caterpillar crawling on me, and I was like, okay, good luck. And it's those little things that come to us to let us know that they're those that are still around us, and they use different ways in which to communicate. Because I was wondering why I stayed up so late last night looking at my great-great-grandmother, who named me, who was born in 1884, and looking at the pictures of and the story that was written about her mother and her brothers. And her mother was born in 1851, and her father was born in 1854. Her mother was born in 1851. And I'm sitting here going like, wow, they were born in slavery. And my mother, who is 90 now, is seeing them on the other side and talking to them. Mm. So she's ready to make that journey back. And these are the parts that we have to understand, is that a child and an elder, one is coming from the spirit, one is returning to the spirit. They're so synonymous to each other in the energy exchange that it's really a challenge that we keep elders away from children. That's by design, because they need to have that mind exchange. And so it's really good to hear there is no death. Death is when you don't speak a person's name, like when you see a deaf person. And a person is always there, and we have to learn that we have a lot of unemployed ancestors because we don't call their names. And we have to begin to call their names and create their shrines and create their, what we have coming up now is Halloween, the celebration of the dead. And the part of it is that that was a part of a culture, not trick or treat, but to go and sit in the cemetery with those ones like Mama AZ does. Go sit in the cemetery and ground yourself and surround yourself with all of those energies that still exist, but they exist in a form that we cannot see, but we can feel and we can perceive their energy. And we need to call on them, you know, call on those ancestors and say, hey, grandma, why did that? Because if you look at the elders, old folks will sit and start talking to their husbands or their loved ones and call on them because they do it. And we think that that's dementia. She's got, no, that's not dementia. That's dimensional. It's not dementia.
Okay.
It's dimensional.
Say
you
that.
Can't see that multiverse. It's not, you know, we talking about the metaverse. No, it's multi-universes that we parallel dimensionally. And those ones that a child looking up and smiling and giggling at the spirits that it still sees. And she's right, when you get 2 years old, but when you become an adolescent, going into adolescence, you lose that ability to hear a certain frequency that we lose when our bodies change into reproductive stage of life. So all of this, and we need to talk about this, because we're now being challenged to look at a movie, you know, The Woman King. Look at this movie and look and say, oh, look how bad we were at one time. And this, no, we were in greatness. If you look at the Benin and Dahomey, they were some of the great metallurgists of our time, that they created bronze statues and stuff that still exists in that art form, and being able to use those minerals to create art. And so we're looking at someone giving us the portrayal of the negative. We got to look at how do we portray the positive. We were great people. There, you know, pharaohs and queens that we had that were greater women in our culture that led whole nations. So we have to stop allowing someone else to give us his story, but what is our story?
Her story, Woman King. I am so glad you said that, Baba Kwame Sohnhurst, because you are really good with numbers, and I must ask you this question. I've dedicated the show to the memory of my BFF, Deborah Smith, who made her transition just this past week. Now, this is the issue. It's not an issue. It's just something that I'm aware of since you talked about the numbers, and that is this. Deborah Smith, my BFF made her transition, and she passed at the exact time on the date of her birthday, which is 10-4. And that freaked us all out. She passed, the time she passed was 10-4, and 10-4, October 1st, 4th, is her birthday. What are your comments on that? Did I lose Baba Kwame Sohnhurst? Did you mute yourself?
No, you didn't lose. I was muted.
Oh,
Brother
okay.
Eddie up there in Chicago. Okay. He's the numbers man. I do wordsmithing. But numbers, he always says, I got five on it. That's five. 10-4. And 10-4 is in CB talk is 10-4. I got it. Okay.
Right.
I see what you're saying. 10-4. So you look at 10-4. Okay. You got it. I was your best friend, but I'm still your friend.
All
because
right.
Because you're dedicated. You're still speaking through the mic. 10-4. I got it. I'm talking about you're my best friend. You're keeping her alive. You're speaking her name. She still lives by the energy that you just gave her.
Yes.
Her
yes.
vessel is gone. Her vessel is gone. But her energy still lives. We still
yes.
call on Dr. King and Malcolm.
Yes.
They still live because we're speaking their name. And as long as we speak their name, they're alive in us.
Amen. Thank you so much. That's a big 10-4. I knew you'd bring some clarity to it, Baba Kwame Tunhua, all the way from Georgia. Thank you so much. We're going to leave your mic open, Baba Kwame Tunhua, as we go into the phone lines. 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak and check us out on the YouTube channel, too, Higher Learning TV Show. As we go to the phones, area code 111-1111. You are live on the Female Solution Grand Rising. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Grand Rising. Unmute yourself. 111-1111. Or we will have to go take the next caller. We'll come back to you. Area code 312-671, you are live on the Female Solution, Grand Rising. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Please unmute yourself.
We are in Yashalom, Ahura. We don't die. We multiply.
All right, now.
That's power
forever. There you go.
As-salamu alaykum.
Yes,
Shalom.
Sir.
And good morning to the Female Solution, the world's greatest station in the nation.
All right, now.
Yes. Your brother and friend, Minister Robert Floyd Plump, is back out the hospital. And I thank all of you for your prayers. I thank all of you for your calls. Dr. B, thank you so much. And Sister Naima, you know, I'm here for a purpose to let you know, you see, we're not afraid of death. Matter of fact, we really don't die, according to what Baba said. So I'm just sucking the emotion. Yes, we are in agreement, and emotion is life. Life goes on. You know, we physically sometimes we transform from physical form to the spiritual. But when we go to the spiritual form, we're going to another level of a higher degree of education. Everything is in education. You know, this is something that's very important with the Harold Washington Foundation. And I want everyone to vote for Robert Floyd Plump to start teaching a special class at Harold Washington College.
Uh-oh.
All about nobody but hell. Now, I am a student for the Honorable Mayor Harold E. Washington, according to prediction, or some ways may say a prophecy. In reality, he said we must plump the whole community. It is written, and it is for the whole world. It's for black people, white, red, brown, and yellow. See, all of our leaders are back, the men and the women. You know, Mother Queen, Mahalia Jackson, he got the whole world. In his hands, he got the whole wide world. In his hands, he got the whole world. In his hands, he got the whole wide world in his hands.
All
yes,
right.
He got you and me, brother. He got the little bitty babies, you know, all the children. Yeah, he got everybody. They don't even see some of them. I understand most of them don't know that they don't know. that God's will only. It's not my will. Y'all are actually
listening we greatly appreciate
a miracle.
Morning, and we wish you continued health and glad to see that you're out of the hospital. We greatly appreciate your contribution to the show this morning. We're going to go back and see if we can get 1111. Is your mic open? Well, your mic is open here. I don't know if you have it closed there. But anyway, go ahead, Naima. Oh, we got a comment here, too. Let's see what this comment says. Move around with Deborah says, wow, 10-4 is my wedding anniversary. Get out of here, Deborah. Wow. Deborah's our third Saturday host with Move Around. Did I say horse? Third Saturday host. I was trying to say course and host at the same time.
Wow. Well, congratulations, Deborah.
Yes.
Celebration of your wedding anniversary.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. 10-4, which is what less than a week away. So wow, that was quite fascinating. And speaking of time, that is the dimension. Remember in the Twilight Zone, they talk about time being another dimension. For those who may be listening, who may quite not know exactly what you mean when you say the word dimension, could you do us a favor and Brother Kwame, feel free to chime in when necessary. But Naima, I would like for you to explain to our viewing audience and listening audience in the after show here, what do you mean when you say a dimension like the Twilight Zone? You are now entering into another dimension.
You know, that may be one of the most challenging things to describe to people who have never entered another dimension. That, you know, when people come back from a near-death experience and they have been to a place that exists and they try to explain it to hospital staff and nurses and they're just all excited because they know that they were somewhere else. And they were even, like some people who had a near-death experience, they remember leaving their body, they're looking at their body, they're listening to conversations, and then they go someplace else, and they're meeting deceased relatives, they're having conversations, they're participating in activities, and they try to explain these things as, I went somewhere and did this. And they're told, oh, you're just hallucinating, that's not real.
It's the medication.
It's the medication. But they know, there's another place that exists. So it's difficult to explain if people have never had an altered conscious experience where your soul has been to a place that is not in this physical reality, but it is a place where your consciousness was at and you were there and it was not an imagination, it was not just a hallucination. You went someplace. And you can experience an altered reality, but it is a spiritual place. And if you have been there, you understand. If you have never experienced it, it's like me telling you about outer space. If I'm an astronaut and I've traveled someplace and I'm telling you about the stars and the moon and everything, that doesn't mean anything to you because you haven't been.
Right.
You can't imagine because you haven't been. And it's difficult, but it is a state that exists. It is a place that exists. And you can travel there in spirit. And you know it when you're there, but other people who've never been there can't understand it because there aren't any words in our language to explain it. Everybody who comes back from a near-death experience will say there are no words to explain it. So that's what makes it challenging. Now, I had, matter of fact, I contacted one of those people who have a website, Near Death,
experiences, and I sent them, you know, my story, and I said, I had a near-death experience, but I never died. I never went through, like, car accident, oh, something, you're out of your body. I mean, I went through that whole tunnel of light. I explained that one experience where I went one morning, someone came, you know, and they pulled my soul out of my body and took me through this tunnel. And, you know, I was kind of disappointed because I could feel from their energy it wasn't full time, you know, and I was like, So they were talking to me, but I wasn't half paying attention because all I was thinking was, oh, I'm not the time. It's not. So, you know, they were telling me things, though, and they were telling me about where we were going. We went to this college campus, and I'm like, okay, was this where Sultana's at? And I'm looking at the buildings, I'm looking at people walking around and talking. But then I left that dimension and came back to my body, and I didn't get a chance to find him, and I thought, well, you know, did I leave too soon, or was I too late to get there? Did I just miss him? What happened? But I went through a tunnel to another dimension.
Mm.
And a lot of people who have a near-death experience will explain that experience. I had it, but I didn't die to get there. It just happened while in my, you know, waking state. So describing a dimension is difficult if one has not had the experience of leaving this dimension.
Mm.
It is a place, it is a physical, or it is a spiritual place where your spirit can travel to. And it is more real than where we are living in our physical so-called reality.
Mm.
That's not real. It's like a hologram. And scientists are now saying, you know, nothing is really real. It's all like a hologram because all it is like moving molecules of energy. But when people go to the other place, the afterlife, they say, now that's reality.
Mm.
This is not reality. This is like a movie.
Mm.
That's the reality. So you're really returning home to your reality.
Mm.
This is just a temporary experience that we're creating with our minds, our thoughts, our feelings, but it's not real. And you realize it's not real when you leave here. You go,
mm.
Oh, that's reality. This really isn't. So it's amazing going through this process of meeting my husband in the dimension where he now resides. I just learned so much more about existence. I mean, there one of my experiences where I was out in space. I saw the stars. You know, I described that in the book. So I've traveled. And I've traveled in spirit. And I've seen existence beyond this physical life. And I've come to understand that the Earth is such a tiny, tiny, tiny part of the universe, and it doesn't make any sense for us to believe that this is all there is. And all of my research and studies and further seeking as a result of this experience has expanded my consciousness to such a degree I cannot go back to the small things ever again.
Mm. Mm.
Because I now know, and what did Mr. Plum say? People don't know, they don't know.
Right.
When you don't know, you don't know. And all you have is whatever your religion taught you, whatever your culture teaches you. That's all you know, and you fight for that. No, this is what is true. Because that's all you know. And you haven't been anywhere else that would teach you something. So what I try to do is share information that I've got from so many communicators across the world on the internet every morning. My mission is to help others awaken to knowledge so that they can expand their thinking.
Mm.
So much that if we understood, we would change the way we do things. We would change the world we've created or miscreated.
Mm.
And one thing that I've learned from reading so many people and hearing so many people's near-death experiences, there's one reality. When you get to the other side and you review your life, you realize the whole purpose of you having this experience is to learn how to love.
Mm.
That's the only thing that matters. All the stuff, your degrees, your titles, all that stuff.
Don't mean a thing.
But that's not what's valuable. What's valuable is how much have you expressed love.
Mm.
And it's amazing when people come back with that understanding, they're not judgmental, they're not hateful, they're not mean. You know, they're just trying to understand how to forgive people, how to empathize with people.
And that is a transformative experience because you, like, you get it. Oh, I get it. Now I know why all this happened. Now I know why I'm going through this. Before you didn't know. You think, oh, God is punishing people, or God is mean to some people. God don't like some people. And you realize none of that exists and who we really are. Think of the creator of the universe as an ocean. And let's say you had a lot of jars of you brought to those lots of jars. So you fill up the jar, you dip each jar in the ocean, you set aside, you dip this jar, so you got a whole bunch of jars. Well, all these jars have within them the ocean. So that is like when you take the jar and the water in the jar is the spirit, which is what God is. So you take the jar and you dump it back into the ocean. That's what death is like. You're rejoining God. That's what that is. So coming from the creator, because that's what we all are, and you're being put into a container, and you feel like you're separate because you're in a container. So death is just letting go of the container. And you merge with the divine mind. You merge with the energy of creation. And so you then understand everything because you are merging with that energy of creation. And people talk about the experience of telepathy. What keeps us from being able to communicate mind to mind, heart to heart, soul to soul, is this container that separates us. But if we can transcend that, then we can actually share thoughts and feelings. We do it all the time, so unconsciously. That's why you can be around somebody that doesn't like you and you feel that. They smile with a smile because their energy is being sent to you. Well, on the other side, once you get rid of this body, instant communication, instant merging, because when people are sharing information, it's like they merge together. And everything that they see. And they feel everything that you feel. So you understand instantly. There's no miscommunication. There's no misunderstanding. So when you go through the life review, after everybody who leaves here, you go through a life review. You see your whole life. And it's like you go through that merging process with everybody you've interacted with. You feel what you made them feel. And you feel everything from how your words affected them and how your thoughts affected them. You see the energy that you put forth and how it affected everything. One of my 555 addresses, I was recounting one man's near-death experience where he was seeing how his actions had affected everything. And, you know, when you always have guides around you, people, you know, to kind of help you through this review process. And he was seeing how he was carrying this bucket of water, and the bucket got kind of heavy, so he decided he was going to pour some of the water out. But then he saw this tree that was kind of dry, and the ground around it was dry, so he went and poured some water onto the tree and saw the water soak into the ground and kind of helped nourish the tree. And he saw how that one act, it was like there was a pause over the universe, like, but he was told, "Let's see what you did in front of just love in your heart, you know, just be helpful. That's a big thing. That's the whole thing." And then he saw how when he was young in grammar school, how he beat up this little boy. Beat this little boy up. The boy went home crying, and the negative energy that he beat up, it was affecting everything. It hit the birds, the trees, the air, the rocks on the ground were affected by this negative energy from this little boy that he had beat up and was going home crying. And he saw this, the hurt that he caused, not just to the boy, but the elements in the universe were in pain. The boy went home, his parents were distressed. He saw how from then on, they was upset. Anytime the little boy left the house, they were afraid that he was going to get hurt. So he saw how he had all the pain that he caused from that little bullying as a child. He felt that. So, you know, when you look at these things and you want people to understand, everything you do is affecting everything. You have to be conscious of everything you think, say, and do, because you're going to see it. That's what that is all about. It's not a, you know, hell and damnation that God is judging. It's you understanding that you, this part of the ocean that was just set aside for a moment, once you re- re- join the whole, the collective, then you're going to understand how you impacted everything while you were here. And you're going to regret when you hurt people because you're going to feel the pain. And if we could get that point, then we can change how we treat people. We can change the laws we create that hurt people and are cruel and insensitive and exploited. We can change all of that because we don't want to get to the other side and regret that we hurt people. You really don't want to feel that. And it's not God is going to throw you into hell, but you're going to feel hell on the inside because you're going to know that you, the soul, you hurt people. You hurt animals, you hurt the earth, you hurt life, and you hurt yourself because that's what it really is. And that's the understanding that you have if you can go to another dimension and see with spiritual eyes, then you can understand. And that's what transforms you.
Well, I hope that someone somewhere...
I share.
Yes, listen to this and understand it. Please, go right ahead, Baba Kwame Sunhorse.
And I want to thank Naima. Excellent defining of dimension. But the word is love, and that's the key because love stands for L-O-V-E, life's only valuable equivalent. Life's only valuable equivalent is love. And love backwards is the beginning of evolve. And so how we evolve from love, because we're living a life. And you spoke about, you know, people that have near-death experience. And they always talk about the light at the end of the tunnel. And the light at the end of the tunnel for myself in this journey that I've been is that first coming through that birth canal and seeing that light opening that I was coming out into this world. That's the light at the beginning of my tunnel. And the part of it is returning, because the concept is I want to go back into the conception, because we talk about the human race. Each one of us is a million to one shot. There's a million sperm release race to get to that egg, and only one makes it, and that is you and I and we. We each are that conception that happens when those two people have a spiritual energy exchange to form a body that is used to house the spiritual energy. That's why we talk about epigenetics. These are markers, because in that egg that sperm meets is all of the recording of the genes of that being. And then the process of forming something to carry it, which is the body. And that's the conception of the embryo to the fetus. And then the fetus grows the body that comes forth through the birthing canal. And we make a contraction with the woman who allowed us to grow within her. Those contractions help push us forth. And we're contracted to fulfill a purpose, because the womb is a place of protection, production, and possibilities. That's how we were produced in forming these bodies to come and do the purpose of love. That is the energy of love. And we did this as part of initiation when I was there in Chicago with Dr. Anthony Menzel at Kennedy King. And we did the rites of passage, and the part of the initiation was learning to go back through your navel and go back into an inner journey. That is your, what we call a wormhole, or we call, you know, traveling that connection to the universe. And so these are the ways in which we have to begin to understand how our ancestors knew how to travel as energy, because that is what we are, in being able to have this heart that beats on this earth, that hears with one ear and learn the art of living. and being able to cry those tears of the ocean, because those waters that we grew in are the same waters that cover this planet. So it's all being able to overstand yourself. And these are the challenges, because they want to distract you from knowing you and Mother Earth. The two are synonymous with one, because the tree of life and that water that the young man took from the pail and poured onto the tree was putting back the memory and consciousness of the wood wide web. We're connected to everything on the planet and the cosmos and universe. We've just become out of order.
We are out of order. Well spoken. Baba Kwame Sunhorse from Georgia. I just got to mention this. Saturday, I was looking at Minister Farrakhan, and he was talking about heaven. And he made a comment that was so profound, I had to stop and just turn off the sound and just absorb it. He said, heaven, the only time a man experiences heaven is when he is with woman. I was like, really?
Wow.
So I would like to get your thoughts on that, Baba Kwame Sunhorse.
There's an elder. His name is Dr. Ben Yakinat. He was a historian. Him and Dr. Clark were very good friends. But Dr. Ben used to always tell us, heaven is between a black woman's thighs. And the part of it is because that is where you come from. That's where you're put at to form who you become. And that was his saying that he would give us, because, you know, we look at heaven and we look at that greatness that happens in that sacred space. And in that sacred space is the part of how we got here, is because a woman has two jobs. She's the queen by birth, but she's the king maker.
Okay, the king. All right.
He's the queen,
you know, that,
by
and
birth.
I'm hoping that, I know I've done a review on the book, but I'm hoping at some point, by, if I can't have her on as a guest, Tina Louise Spaulding, who channeled the book, Making Love to God, and what is the subtitle? The Pathway to Divine Sex, I think. And the book explains the process of going through a sexual experience. The level of ecstasy is actually designed to help you energetically reach into other dimensions. So it is a spiritual energy exchange, and it is supposed to help you energetically raise your frequency so that spiritually you can evolve to higher states. And if we understood that, then we would put it in its proper perspective and put the right energy toward it so that it does its job of helping to elevate our consciousness and bring us to that level of ecstasy that would help us to transcend this dimension and enter other spiritual dimensions. And we would, in fact, be in heaven. So if you have the right spiritual partner, if you have the right experience, you are going to transcend and elevate your consciousness with that act of intimacy. And that's what it's for. It's been misused and misdefined in this society, so people have lost the power that comes with it to help them in their spiritual growth. But that really is what sex is. So
right.
If we learn that, then we can use it for that spiritual ascension it was meant to be.
Right, and it's very important that we begin to understand, especially for training of boys to men, and being able to train or to show young men how to ejaculate instead of ejaculate, and being able to hold that life force until it's time for you to release that life force to create life. And these are the challenges that we have now within the way in which things are done, because in our ancestral ways and even in the Jewish tradition, men had to be circumcised when they reached the age of adolescence, not at birth, because that trauma of unhooding the life presenter is not to be done until that stage of life is at that time. And so we are looking at ways in which we have to come back and study how we were able to utilize the forces, because that is one of the highest forces in between two human beings, that we have this, or most folks, coitus, you know, because Freud took the word seb, which is the life force, from Egyptian. He was an Egyptologist, and he just took the B off and put an X on, because he was looking at how those European minds were so perverted, and that's what they were seeking. How, as Carl Jung said, we created psychology because we knew how sick we were.
That's the challenge that we have, is to get well, to get balanced, to return to the ways of the spirit that are a celebration of life. And to understand there is no death, there is only continued rising in wisdom and knowledge. And you continue learning on the other side. You continue growing, you continue traveling. There's a whole universe, you continue exploring. So this life experience on Earth is just a tiny microcosm of what you're going to go through as a soul. So when you see yourself as a soul, and you see yourself as a soul who is evolving and growing and learning, you can't possibly define yourself in the narrow form of a body or a gender or any of those things, because, you know, this is just a covering you're wearing to play this role, to learn these things that you're supposed to learn through this experience. But that's not who you are. You are the soul. You are the eternal soul having an ongoing learning experience. And when you see yourself that way, then there is no prejudice, there is no resentment, there is no anger about anything that's happened in the past, because, you know, everything that's happened in the past was part of your learning experience. And so even the anger that we hold, whatever has been done in history, and what every people has done something, and we have all had many different experiences and different times and places and identity, because as a soul, every life experience is supposed to teach us something about love. So now, before we go, there's one last part of the book, and the last thing I was trying to do, and I decided that this book that I was writing, and I kind of felt okay, you know, me and my husband were writing this book, and I don't know how it's going to end. But I knew the tablet that I had, the pages were running out, so I decided when I reach the end of this blank tablet, that's the end of the book. Whatever is happening in my life, that's what's happening. And that's what's going to happen. It's supposed to go in. I didn't know how it was going to end, because it's an autobiography that I was writing as it happened. But my thought was, a life partner is such a serious spiritual choice, because if you choose somebody who brings you pain, that's going to be a painful experience. It's going to stunt your spiritual growth. How do you find the right life partner to continue your purpose on Earth? I don't know that. How do I find that person, you know, and what kind of choice do you make if you were married and now you're trying to think of marrying someone else because they finished their course here, they're moving on and continuing their life, you know, in another dimension. So I was trying to find out, how do I make that choice? I know I still have a purpose. How do I find another life partner? So I was trying to connect with Lufan and ask so that he could tell me and I could understand So I'll just read these next two or three meetings that we had. Answer, you know, how do I, you know, do I look for another husband? What do you think about me getting remarried? What should I do? And what, how should I find a person? And so this is what happened. Tuesday, December 9, 2008, 8:33 a.m. I'm returning from a short, rather frustrating visit with Sultan. After morning prayers, I got into bed and a few moments later drifted into altered consciousness. Sultan was again at my mother's house, this time lying in my old bedroom. I was determined to get an answer to my question. Sultan, please tell me. I came and sat on the bed. He was again older, balding. If I remarry, how important are the spiritual beliefs and practices of my husband on the development of my soul? He was tired. I pulled him up to a sitting position. The spiritual beliefs and practices of your husband are very important, he stated. Then he collapsed and went back to sleep. I couldn't awaken him. Saturday, December 13, 2008, 8:32 a.m. I'm returning from a spiritual visit to my mother's house again. After drifting into altered consciousness, I awakened in my old bedroom and heard my parents in their bedroom. I walked into their bedroom and asked, "Is Sultan here?" "This is me and Mom," my father said. I couldn't see either of them under the covers, but his voice was clear. Sultan is in the basement, trying to get some rest. I walked down to the basement. The walls were lined with new mattresses, and there was a brand new bed downstairs and a new mattress on it. Sultan, I called. He wasn't there. Monday, December 15th, 2008, 7:33 a.m. I'm returning from another short visit with Sultan. After morning prayers, I went back to bed and began meditating. Suddenly, I felt my soul snatched from my body, and I began moving rapidly through a dark tunnel. I felt someone with me. I held up my hand and felt a head full of fluffy hair and a slightly receding hairline. It was Sultan, again from his younger days. "Sultan, I'm thinking of remarrying," I began. "When is the date?" he asked. We were still moving through dark space, and I couldn't see him. "I don't have a date yet," I explained. "We've just been talking about it. What would happen if I should remarry?" "Then I would be well rested," he replied. I understood. My ability to successfully remarry and continue my life with a new husband would bring peace to his soul. I had my answer. I could now go about the business of making a decision about marriage. As I returned to my dimension, I resolved to take my friend's advice and spend the next 30 days in prayer about this very crucial matter. Only God could tell which man would be the correct spiritual choice for me. On the last chapter. And because during that time, I was dating maybe two or three guys, and, you know, one of them was, you know, wanting to marry me and that kind of thing. But I wasn't sure what was the criteria, none of that, you know. And so that was, I felt like I needed to ask my husband, you know, what about that. So that was, and that's, of course, near the end of the book. But, of course, over the years, we have continued communicating. He's continued giving me advice about my love life and all of that as I travel to the next dimension. And so the story continues, and life continues because my life purpose continues because I'm still here. You know, once I leave, that means I've done what I was supposed to do, and it's time to go. So that has been, it's been a fascinating journey. I realize that I am living my purpose and sharing knowledge. Euphoria.
That's what Deborah says. Move around with Deborah. Yep, euphoria. You can't take us there. It's our own each individual experience.
Yes, it is.
We
so
just,
I'm excited, you know. I know when I crossed over, you know, we get together again. And now I did have one experience, and this was like, you know, years after this book, but one of my many visitations that continued with him, I went and visited him at his apartment, and we were sitting around talking, and, you know, he's talking about various people. Nice place, you know, nice, comfortable place, you know, big couch and everything sitting around. So I've been there. I went one place, was like there was a convention going on, and there was a reception, and I went, and, you know, there were some friends, and, you know, a party atmosphere was going on, you know, like drinks, hors d'oeuvres, that kind of stuff. And it was a festive atmosphere. I was visiting them there. So it's like activities that are joyful, and you're having fun and all of that. I mean, that's what's happening. You're with people that you love, you know, I guess. Before your next assignment. So lately I've been studying and sharing information with people who've had near-death experiences, and they've explained, you know, when you were out on the side and you got people just welcoming you, and they knew you were coming because everybody has their appointed time to come. Sometimes people, that could be your time to go, but you might want to go back and finish some things you didn't finish. So they're always given a choice with, do you want to stay or do you want to go? You know, you want to go back, you want to stay here, we're all the fun. It's always like, oh, we want to stay, I don't want to go back. But then sometimes you feel like, well, I need to go back and finish losing my child or whatever. But, you know, all of these near-death experiences I've been reviewing lately, there's always a big welcome on the other side and love. There's so much love. And what they understand is that I'm supposed to learn how to love the way the love is over here. No judgment, no condemnation, acceptance, desiring for the well-being of everybody. That's what we're supposed to manifest. So that's what each experience is helping us learn. And sometimes people are in your life to help you learn forgiveness, because that's what you need to learn, and understanding that people don't know, and that's why they do things that are hurtful. They don't know these things. They've never been to another dimension. They've never seen life on the other side. They don't know what real love feels like, love without judgment, love without fear. They don't know. And so most of the things they do that are hurtful are based in fear. You know, I'm fearing that I'm not going to have enough to eat. I'm fearing I'm not going to have a place to stay. So I got to steal from people. I got to hurt somebody. You know, I'm fearing I'm not going to be loved. You know, so I have to do something to make somebody do something, or try to control somebody, because I'm in fear. When you fear, you can't love. So we're supposed to learn through all of these life experiences is how to love and how to replace whatever negative emotions a person has because of their negative experiences, how to replace it with love. And that is the solution to everything. So when we learn this, then that's how we organize our lives, and that's how we relate to people, and that's what we're adding to the universe. And we see all of that when we go to the other side. We'll see the impact that we have. So, I mean, the work you're doing with the homeless, you can just imagine the applause you're getting on the other side.
From, oh, wow.
And you'll feel the joy that you brought when you bring in blankets and heaters and tents. You'll feel it, and you'll be so happy that, wow, I did this. Whatever, you know, challenges are involved in doing it, it'll be worth it, because you'll see the change, and you'll see that it's not just changing that person at that moment. You'll see the ongoing positive energy that created.
Wow. Never thought about it. Like, never thought about it at all. Just, you know, doing what I've been asked to do from the Creator, from my little brother, because that's what I felt he wanted me to do. So that's what I did.
And that was part of his mission in being the person who ignited that in you, so that you could do the work you're doing.
Wow. Yeah. Well, he definitely ignited it. That he did do. I can say that much. Because our relationship wasn't strained, it just wasn't often.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't see each other often. Wow. We have been joined by friends on Clubhouse, Naima. I opened up Clubhouse. Yeah. And I just got a text that said we need to do a show on Clubhouse. So we've got to figure out, can we squeeze in an hour today? I'm editing all day today, so Monday's my day to edit. So
we'll figure out a day to do a Clubhouse show.
Yeah, because people are telling me, we're on Clubhouse all the time, and we can't listen at 7 o'clock in the morning, but we can listen in the evening. I said, okay, so then we're going to figure out when we're going to do one, and we're going to set one up as soon as this show goes off. So I want to thank all of you for participating in this today, because this is an ongoing topic, because we have been conditioned to think one way of getting another text already. Marcus King says, thank you, Marcus. October
5th. Oh, he's sending me. Oh, he's sending me an announcement. Wow, this is a long one, Marcus. I'm gonna put this on my
blog.
On my blog, yeah. It's a women's resource expo. Oh, okay. It's Thursday, September 15th. Today.
Oh, today is
26th. Oh, this is old. Yeah. It must be something that's ongoing. Oh, the next date is October 5th. That's what it is. But I'll put it, it's in Willie B. Park, 1610 West Howard Street, up north, 60626. I used to live on Howard Street. Anyway, thank you so much for Marcus. I will be posting that on my blog, which is zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. Thank you so very much for joining this show. Oh, I just got another one. Y'all going to do part two next week? Well, I hadn't planned on it, but if you want it, we will do it. We will schedule another one because we've had callers hanging here the whole time we are here. There ain't nobody left.
Well, tomorrow I think Jody is, we're doing a show on being an intuitive, you know, when you have the ability to reach into the other dimension and what that's like. So we'll be talking about that tomorrow on Self-Care with Jody Susan.
Okay, and on Wednesday?
On Wednesday is our men-only discussion, and the men are going to talk about abortion. So that's quite fascinating.
Yeah. That should be very interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to see and hear that one.
Yeah.
But in the meantime...
Well, Thursday is Dr. Debbie Green, and she's doing an ongoing series on murder, suicides, and how we can help people get help before they need help.
Yes, because Lord knows we need help and a lot of it. And we're not the only ones. Everybody needs a little help every now and then.
Everybody needs help, absolutely.
Saturday? Friday.
Well, Friday, of course, health and well-being with Tiana. So tune on in for the latest health news and how to use all of our body's resources to heal ourselves. So make sure you tune in for that. And Saturday, we've got Jana, first Saturday of the month, joining us live from London. And she's kicking off the nonviolent blogging carnival and getting things all around the world. So we got to make sure we participate in that, putting forth our statements about nonviolence, how we can change the way we relate and definitely change what we're demonstrating to our children. So that's going to be a wonderful show. And then, of course, starting all again Sunday with Soul Purpose Healing with Deanna. And be right on back here with us on Monday for Monday Morning Mindfulness.
And we'll do it all over again. I've got to make this announcement. Marcus King just sent me October 5th. They have lots of vendors, and they need women that are homeless on probation and also women that are victimized by sex trafficking. Wow. Wow. Okay, Marcus, thank you so very much. I will be posting that information on my blog. And for those of you who don't have an idea of what my blog looks like, I'm going to pull it up so you can see it. But this while this picture is here, this show is dedicated to my beloved Deborah Smith and to her caretaker and also friend Deborah Mundy. That's Deborah Smith on the left who made her transition, who's here with us on the show this morning. Thank you, Deborah Boo. And Deborah Mundy here on the right. You can tell they were lifelong friends because they...
Yes, you
can just see it. So
you're kind of looking alike a little bit.
Okay, exactly.
That does happen.
So I wanted to share that with you, and I also want to share with you what my blog looks like. And give me a few minutes after the show. This is the blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. So all you have to do is go to it, and you see today's show, and then I'll post, you know, it's got information from the free gas and grocery giveaway coming up October 8th. And then I'm going to post that information about the women needed. Those are all the locations, but it's a ton of information here. Oh, and the Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest. I forgot to announce the winner.
I sent you my
yes. I got it, and I got that from the other judges, too, and I sincerely apologize because I truly forgot it.
I guess we have to announce it on next Monday.
Yes, we'll have to announce it next Monday because the switchboard just cut us off, so because I can't add all the things that I need to add, so we will add that next Monday. And right about now, I'm going to play the Female Solution closeout because I forgot to play that, too. But I'm going to play it now, and I want to thank all of you who are watching this video to please share it. And we're going to have a part two. We're going to schedule a part two for you because you want to see it, because I'm just getting texts like, I woke up late. Okay, we'll do a part two. But you can always go back and see the show, too. Go back and see the show on blogtalkradio.com, The Female Solution, and on YouTube and Facebook, Higher Learning TV Show.
Invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Beats. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Shauna. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And actually, you are a part of the solution because you showed up here this morning. You are the leader in your community because you have the information, and now you can share the information. And I know from time to time you get a little stressed out, so we'll want to offer you a free consultation from the Higher Learning Network on how to continue your stress relief sessions at home. As I leave you with this video, thank you so much for watching and for sharing and enjoying and being a part of this experience. And we will see you back here tomorrow morning, bright and early, for Jody Susan on self-care. And remember, everything is part of your self-care. So take care of you and take care of those you love.
Are you stressed out? Are you ready to learn some quick techniques on how to de-stress immediately? Then book your free 30-minute consultation with Zelda Speaks, the Mindfulness Stress Relief Coach, at higherlearningnetwork.org. Thanks for sharing.
And thank you, Naima, for being here with me. That is that's all, folks. See y'all tomorrow morning on self-care. Thank you so much for watching and for sharing. Make it a great day. Do something special for yourself. Ain't but one you. Whatever you do, do it with love. And thanks for watching and sharing and liking and promoting and being you. Hello. All right. Over and out.
Great show.
Good to go. Well, yeah,
so
girl.
Much.
I want to do, you know, I'm an early morning person, so it's so many people on Clubhouse, but they're on at night. And it's like, man, I'm winding down at 5 o'clock because I'm up at 5.
Yeah,
so
for real.
And because we don't have to be seen, we could be laying down in the bed. You want to do one at 5 because that's the most popular hour.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, so I will schedule one now. Actually, I got to hang up from this call because I'm on it right now. Thank you, what's his name, Marcus. Yeah, so let me leave quietly. So I'm going to schedule one for today right now for 5
o'clock.
It's
all audio, right?
Yes,
so.
Audio only. Girl, I ain't been in here so long, I don't forget how to do one. That's messages, nope. But I just did it this morning.
They have a regular sort of meeting thing on Clubhouse, is that how it works?
You can schedule one.
Oh, okay.
I see you ain't been on there either.
Yeah, I don't even remember how.
If you see me trying to figure out, okay, so I can add your name here, Latif.
Yeah. One of my phones is acting crazy. My 312849 number. I think it's the T-Mobile.
I know, girl. And all they're going to do is try to sell you one.
Try to sell me another one.
But I had to get one because I was missing stuff for Willie, and it's like, oh. You got to bite the bullet. It'll pay for it, so just do what you need to do. Okay, so today.
So now his next.
October 8th. Not this 5th? Saturday, next Saturday.
Oh, the 8th, okay.
October 8th, yeah. I got you September 26th, 5 p.m. What's the name? What did I say? Death? What's the name of it?
Why are we afraid?
Why Are We Afraid? Yeah. I think that'll draw some people to death. I know it will, so I got to remind.
Just passed away.
Yeah. Why Are We Afraid? AFR.
Just remember my website with the book orders and stuff. I have a order on books. So I gotta take time and do things. I have a big stand and things on my own website. So I got my 5 websites. I mean, I gotta.
You and me, girl, you and me both. Stories from the Other Side. Stories from the
Other Side. Screenplay I'm working on called Love from the Other Side.
Oh, wow.
All of this, all the advice that he's given me about my personal life over the years and stuff happening, and then, you know, I'll tune into those times, he'll say, well, you should blah, 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 you know. So I want to write like a romantic comedy sort of thing.
Okay, and it'll sell, too.
Yeah.
They got us conditioned for romance novels. We are well conditioned for that. So
it's kind of different. You know, man passes away, and he's still giving his wife love advice on her trying to choose the next husband.
Yeah, that's a different twist. I like that. The Female Solution and YouTube. I stopped putting YouTube as opposed to, I'm trying to grow our YouTube channel because I've spent money on Facebook and ain't did nothing. It's like, what's the point?
Yeah, you can do those promotions on Facebook, but, you know, because YouTube, they will put ads on your, I have got Facebook,
too. Yeah, you got to have so many, you know, listeners, viewers, or watchers, whatever they call them. Higher learning. Oh, yeah, and then after the show, I always send out, just in case you missed it, so some of the original show blocks and YouTube.com Halloween TV show. And I don't even like putting Facebook, but I put it anyway. But if you don't have to have a show on YouTube to open up YouTube, That's why I like YouTube, because there's so many people saying, I am not on Facebook and I'm not about to get on it. So that's why I even stopped posting on Facebook. Not stop posting on Facebook, but stop promoting it. I promote YouTube more. Facebook.com updates. Okay. Okay, updates.